You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
I just got off the phone with Tom McArdle from the Budget Committee. This thing with Favre is screwed up, Pooch.
What? They can't lump us in with that fucking Martian.
We're all in the same boat, fellas.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Hey, Favre. What's the name of that restaurant you like with all the goofy shit on the walls and the mozzarella sticks?
You mean shenanigans?
Oh!
You're talking about shenanigans, right?
Put those away!
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Schism, some studios backing Blu-ray disc, others backing HD DVD. People thought it would come down to pixel rate or refresh rate, and they're pretty much the same. What it came down to was a combination of gamers and porn. Now, whichever format porno backs is usually the one that becomes the most successful. But, you know, Sony, every PlayStation 3 has a Blu-ray.
You talking to me this whole time?
I was talking to whoever was listening.
Christ, man.
Turns to winter, and then winter turns to spring. It's not just the season, you know, it goes for everything.
It's even true for voices when boys begin to grow. You gotta take a lesson from Mother Nature, and if you do, you'll know.
When it's time to change,
then it's time to change.
Don't fight the tide, come along for the ride, don't you see? When it's change, you've got to rearrange who you are.
My goodness. Hey, everyone! Boom Goes the Dynamite! It's Friday! Episode 137 of Nowhere in Mulberry! Welcome to the show. I'm awesome. And Steven's awesome, too. How you doing, Steven?
Just fine, thank you.
Just awesome?
Just awesome.
That's my word I'm going to overuse tonight.
I'm awesomely awesome today.
Where were you just now? Today, before you got here. What state were you in?
California, L.A.
You were in...
90210.
Did you go to Nats?
Yes.
Go to the Peach Pit?
I had to go to the Peach Pit, get me a ultimate burger.
A mega burger. That's what Brandon misses most about Nat, his mega burger. That's kind of... It's some kind of secret gay code, then Brandon didn't obviously pick that up. He was like, oh, okay, thanks a lot for telling me that, Brandon. I miss his burger, too. Oh, my God! What does that all mean? We also have on the show today, Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian. How you doing, Bill? How are you doing, Bill? Oh, crap. What's going on? Hello, Bill. Doop, boop, 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 boop. Let's see what's going on here. Did I lose Bill? Yes, we did lose Bill. Oh, crap. First he's having sound problems, and then this. Okay, well, Bill, call me back when you can. See, Bill, you're not in the area where the hurricane is, Hurricane Ike. So maybe his computer, he has to reboot it, something like that. So we'll see what happens with Bill. I'm sure he'll call back any minute. Right, Steven? Oh, God, what are we going to do?
I don't know.
You know, Hurricane Ike is hitting now as we
Galveston.
Speak. Yeah, and our buddy Andy from the Hollywood Saloon lives there just outside of Houston. And I'm kind of worried about him and his family because he said that the winds are picking up and it's getting pretty scary. I just hope that he's okay. And Andy, if you want to call in and give us some kind of update on the weather...
Our weatherman on the road.
Yeah, let us know if you're okay. And just look out the window and tell us what's going on. Unless he called me today and told me that he had boarded up
the windows.
A window, like the biggest window of their house, like in the living room. And it's almost like, I can understand what he means. We were talking earlier about you never know if you should really, because everyone, the news here in Texas especially, they always... Oh, big thunderstorm or whatever. They always play it up where it's like, oh, my God, it's Armageddon. I really need to do something. Like, you know, we have a tornado 10 miles. It's like, you guys need to get in the bathtub, put a mattress on top. It's just like, whatever. Not going to worry about it. Nothing's going to happen. So,
but we live close enough to the city where this alleged heat dome keeps the tornadoes away.
It's a protective dome of psychic energy, I think, is what it is. It's just like
that, it's like that gel around the library in Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Well, see, so basically what he was saying is you don't never know if you should really take that much precaution. What if it's nothing?
Well, with stuff being that windy, that close to the coast, yeah, you would board up windows just to protect them from getting broken from flying crap, you know?
The main thing, even if he is okay, nothing happens to the house, they could still lose power for a couple of days or something like that, which really blows. I was saying that I would get, like, a couple of car batteries, and you can get those little...
No, you go get one of those gas-powered generators, you know?
I'm talking about, it, like, if you don't want to get a generator, can you get, like, a car battery and hook it up to one of those adapter things? You know what I'm talking about? I've seen them use those before, like...
Well, kind of, yeah. I mean,
you can, like, hook up your TV and plug it in. It's like an AC adapter or something.
It'd be better to get a
gas-powered generator. Probably, yeah. I'm just saying it. You could rent one, couldn't you?
Yeah, probably.
But they're so cheap now, aren't they?
A gas-powered generator, you could probably get one fairly cheap.
Now, oh, wait, I think I see Bill. Let me try to call Bill. Now, first of all, say you got a generator. Is there a way to hook it up to give power to your house?
I think you just plug it into an outlet.
You plug it in an outlet?
And it would feed your house.
Bill, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry.
Hey, what happened?
You know, I told you last week that I was, I upgraded the motherboard in my computer, and I'm using Vista, And Vista is sucks.
So you mean Mojave?
Yes, Windows Mojave.
So what happened during the intro? You just got cut off?
No, during the intro, I crashed.
Oh, crap.
It just crashed.
And that's
hopefully it won't happen again.
See, Vista, they were smart enough not to put a blue screen of death. It just crashes, right?
It just freezes up, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, no, actually, more blue screen of death. We don't need that.
I think you were playing, was it the theme from Forbidden Kingdom?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it just started like going, it's like,
oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, the great Forbidden Kingdom with Jackie Chan and Jet Li. I watched that this week, and it was awesome.
I was talking to you about how I was really interested in it after I saw how much it referenced the classic Shaw Brother movies. So I'm definitely into checking it out.
Well, you know what's weird? It's the kind of thing where Andy told me I needed to see it. And I was like, okay, when it comes out on Blu-ray, I'll rent it from Netflix. But
yeah.
Honestly, none of the commercials I saw of it on TV made me want to see it. It's just like, oh, what are they
making? Same here.
It's like same old Jet Li or Jackie Chan making their crappy American movies, and I had no idea how good it was.
Well, and you saw that it was directed by Rob Minkoff. So it was like Stuart Little?
The awesome director of Stuart Little, yeah. And
he directed another movie that was...
Whoa.
You know,
wow.
Your audio just like got better all of a sudden.
Oh, terrific.
It went into high def mode.
Oh, good.
Crystal HD radio. I always hear that on the radio now. Listen to HD radio, high definition. And you know what? I read that it doesn't even stand for high definition. It's like some kind of like something density or something.
High density?
Yeah,
it doesn't even... You have to be dense to listen to HD radio.
But of course, you got to market it. Everyone knows HD means high def now, so you got to market it like that. But anyway, Forbidden Kingdom is an awesome movie, and I think everyone, if you like any kind of like martial arts type stuff, the martial arts kicks ass in this movie. And it's like ancient mythical China and where they have magic. But I just love when they do that stuff like the drunken master, you know, Jackie Chan is the drunken master, the guy who's drunk with a bottle of wine while fighting.
I would love to get a real actual copy of Drunken Master 2 here in Region 1 because they released, I think, was it the Weinstein Brothers, Miramax released The Legend of Drunken Master, and that was Drunken Master 2, but it was all edited to shit because of inappropriate material.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, they do all those things like, you know, the tiger, and there's like the praying mantis, you know, like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I love
that's total Shaw Brothers stuff.
I love it. They pay homages to all that stuff. It's really cool, and it's got a storyline kind of like, you know, I think Andy was saying, it's kind of Wizard of Oz-ish, but really it's in all those fantasy type of stories where someone in our time gets sucked back into the past and kind of learns a life lesson in a way.
One other person I know who had seen The Drunken Master when I saw it when I was young, you know, a guy we worked with, Tim.
Yeah, and you guys talked about that.
Yeah, we were talking about it.
I love him doing that drunk thing where it's like, get out of here, you drunk. And, you know, of course, they go to hit him or something. And all of a sudden, he's like kicking ass or whatever. But I love all that
stuff. What was the Tekken character that was the drunken boxer?
Oh, crap. I can't remember. Damn.
I know that, like, you know, one of the movies, one of my all-time favorites is The Five Deadly Venoms, which is a Shaw Brothers movie. And that had, like, the Venoms all had names, like Centipede, Snake, Lizard, Scorpion, Toad.
That's
you know,
awesome.
And that always cracked me up. I always loved that.
Yeah, I always watched, like, the Kung Fu Theater, but I had no idea who, you know, who made the films or who was in them or anything like that.
No, we just loved Kung Fu back when I was younger.
The one that I remember, a movie called The Flying Guillotine. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
The guy would throw the thing and it would land on your head or whatever. Awesome! I loved all that stuff.
Yeah, I have a bunch of those that I imported from Region 3 DVDs, from DVD Asian, and I love watching those sometimes. I'll have to copy them for you just so you can get a bearing of what those are.
Well, you know, what is cool about the Forbidden Kingdom is when you watch a movie, kind of like Kill Bill, when you watch it, you know that what you're watching is a labor of love by the creators, and they are paying tribute to the stuff that they love, you know? They just love it so much, and they're doing this. And yeah.
Speaking of like Kill Bill, there's a they reference one of my favorites Shaw Brothers movies in that too, The Five Fingers of Death.
Right.
That's a great movie.
Because at the what is it that she learns the little five finger palm of death or something like that? What is it if you take like five steps? Yeah, 5 steps, your heart explodes. Yeah. I love that where he's like dun dun. And the way he just slumps over, it's so comical. But I don't want to... Spoiler alert if you haven't seen Kill Bill. By the way, just came out on Blu-ray, Bill. Gotta own it.
I'm passing. I'm waiting until I get confirmation that they are the international cuts, the Japanese cuts.
I always heard that there was going to be one big cut, like one big movie.
Yeah, the whole bloody affair, it's called.
But I guess if they do that... I mean, did they release a standard def of that?
No, they never. They did in Japan, but never here.
I can understand why, in a way, because hey, we want them to buy two discs. We don't want them to buy one. Okay, it's bad marketing.
I just want the uncut version because there's all these little parts that they took out of the American part because of the MPAA, like the entire battle with the God. What are their names?
The Crazy 88 or
Crazy 88. That's all in color. And there's little moments that they changed here and there where she, like, rips a throat out.
There's a part where she rips the guy's eye out and it goes black and white all of a sudden. And then she's fighting in black and white.
But in the real version, it's all in color.
Yeah, there's sent me that a long time ago. And I watched it. And I was like, hell, I forgot if I did or not. I love that scene in that movie.
There's the scene. There was another scene where it kind of goes to cartoony that's not in.
Yeah, it's longer. The cartoon, anime that explains the Lucy Liu character's origins is much longer and more violent in the Japanese version.
Yeah, I honestly, Kill Bill Volume 1, I like Kill Bill Volume 2 a lot too, but Kill Bill Volume 1, I like much more. It's more satisfying experience, you know what I mean?
A lot more
satisfying. Definitely.
Let's see, we got a phone call. Hopefully it's Andy telling us how he's doing there. Hello, you're on the air to Nowhere in Mulberry. Welcome.
National Wildlife Refuge. Sustained 26 miles an hour, gusts to 48 miles an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
The surrounding lake is unusually large. Tropical storm force wind gusts in excess of 39 miles.
No!
Andy, are you okay?
4 hours. Hurricane force winds in excess of 74 miles an hour will reach the coastal counties in the next 10 to 4 hours.
Oh, no. You know what's really good about that, the weather channels on that now, those public weather channels, is that they made the computer voice sound like an actual human voice.
Oh, yeah. They used to have, these ones that sound even much more electronic. And, it's like Steve Hawking, you know.
It sounded like, Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
So give us an update, Andy. Are you okay? Is your family all right?
Oh, I am anxiety riddled as I look outside and my trees are bucking and moving and thrashing and the wind is blowing, and then we see that, you know, even the hardcore part hasn't even, you know, come close to us yet.
You are so scared like a little girl.
I am scared like a girl. I'm gonna come hide.
Now, let me ask you this, Andy. Is there a possibility it could blow past you and not go through where you live?
No, not at all. This thing is so massive. They said this thing is 900 miles across. And you know how on the TV they always talk about it's going to make landfall here? Well, they're just saying it doesn't matter where it makes landfall. It's just going to affect everything.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, the hard part is it's coming right up through Galveston.
Was that?
We have cow.
A flying cow, Andy.
Yes, there they go, right past me. Worse than Twister.
Now, did you ever have an option of, like, leaving town, or just where could you have gone?
Well, you know, the problem is that everyone has the option of leaving town. When Rita was headed our way, it was that they said, the city said, yeah, go ahead and go. And then like 100 people died just on the road. And you saw that nightmare that happened 3 years ago.
Right.
And this time they just said, nah, just stay here unless you're in the flood area. And we're not in the flood area. So we just said, well, we'll do what the city says and we'll stay. And we didn't want to get stuck in any kind of heinous traffic like that. But a lot of people did leave, a lot of people with children. My brother just had a new baby like last week, and so they went ahead and drove up to some family in Austin, and some other friends of mine went to Dallas, so up where you are, Jay. And so some people are leaving, but we're staying as well as most people I know. Most people I know are staying, and it's just it's just one of those things. We've done this before. We did it in 83. Houston has gone through these things. We just haven't had a direct hit like this since, like I said, 83.
Right. It's going to be a little scary, but you guys will be all right.
Well, the direct hit.
It's a direct hit, and it's in the middle of the night. That's the worst.
Oh, yeah. Is it hitting your weak point for massive damage?
What do you mean?
Video game.
Really bad joke.
What's that giant spider?
Giant crab.
Yeah, they're shooting out of funnel clouds, those giant crabs.
See, that's what you told me that would scare me shitless, is the fact that it can spawn tornadoes. I didn't know that.
And one thing that's good is that we're on the opposite side from where it's supposed to do that, but it can do it. It still can do that. And so,
attack its weak point.
It really is, you know. If you believe in fate and if it's your time, then it's your time. There's nothing you can do about it.
Well, isn't it still only a Category 2?
I think right when it came close, it's right now about to tip over to 3. But they're saying that it doesn't matter at this point because, you know, it's just a few degrees wind speed. It's like 110, and I think Category 3 is, I don't know, 113. We're real close.
Have you ever been in high winds before? I mean, your fence is intact and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's been so long since I was young. I mean, we've been through big storms. But the hard part for me is, as a 40-year-old man, I have never done this without my parents before. I think the last time this happened, we had some big storm, and we just, it wasn't a hurricane, but it was something else. And we went over to my folks' house, and my dad could always be, let's go here and let's do this. And I would be, yes, sir, let's do that. And I didn't have to be there. But now I'm the big daddy. I'm the boss. So, oh, Christ.
You got to have
help me, Jesus. So yeah, I gotta control the masses here. And so it's nutty, man. It's,
and you
it's
can't
a nutty
panic either, right?
But yeah, keep cool. Everybody keep cool. Nobody panic in the state of emergency.
Stay frosty.
Yeah, there you go. Stay sharp.
Because if Dad panics, then it's like, oh, crap.
Oh, shit, Dad's panicking.
Yeah.
Or it's even worse if your kids are going, calm down. It's going to be okay.
My kids are just, they're, you know, we still have electricity. So they're, Wesley's doing his anime thing on YouTube, and Lucas is watching shows, and Lucas keeps saying, when's this big hurricane coming? There's no hurricane coming.
The moment that power goes out.
Oh, I know. Well, it's like you open the door and it's like, and you close the door and it's peaceful and silent. So it's not, you know, it's really not bad yet. It's just, we'll see where it is in the middle of the night.
Hopefully it won't be a big deal.
I really hope not.
Hopefully it'll be worrying about nothing.
Nah,
maybe a couple shingles will fly off. That'll be it.
I hope so.
Well, call us again, like with any kind of updates. All right.
Oh, while Andy's on the phone, by the way, I think I've officially gotten into a internet fight with Jay Webb on the forums.
Oh man, you guys have been—it's the great 360 Wii war of 2008.
You know what? It's not even a 360 Wii war. It's just that it's like we'll be in a 360 thread. We'll be talking about something. Like, remember the GTA 4 thread where we were talking about how crazy the game was, and then he pops in like, "Well, I have Godfather for the Wii, and it's great." And it's just like, dude, we're not talking about the Wii or the Godfather. We're talking about GTA 4. It's like he jumps in and hijacks the threads to talk about how great his Wii is to try to relate to us on what we're doing. And it just it has gotten all my nerves to the point where I finally just attacked. And I attacked. I'm so mean.
With Bill attacks on
Clock. Yeah. It's like, I think in one of the most recent threads, he said, "I'm officially an asshole." And I just started laughing.
You love it when you get to that point. It's like, I intimidated someone.
But it's like he made this post about how great, I think Wesley's friend, Anime Freak, posted this thing about how great the Wii is. And Jay Webb replied, like, "Finally, an adult that enjoys the Wii." And I just couldn't resist a post. He's 11.
Yeah. And
the only ones that enjoy the Wii is if you're 11 or Jay Webb. And he didn't like that. But then he replied about how great it was and how much fun his family had. And I couldn't resist putting, like, "Man, that's a great advertisement. Good job."
You know what it is? It's the same thing with these people who have PS3s and that's their only system. And God bless him. Jay Webb's a great guy. He's been with the Saloon just since really early in its inception. So I really appreciate everything he's done for us. But, it is funny because you meet those guys who the PS3 is their only system and they like go into this combative stance.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, I've got a PS3. We've got great games. You know, we've got Resistance. What's your problem? Yeah, so what? You've got Halo 3. I don't care. You know, and it's
maybe it was something like,
yeah, who cares?
Maybe it was something like nobody was talking about the Wii, so he, joined.
He had to hijack the thread and talk about the Wii. How great it is!
He wants to. I think he needs someone. I think he would love to have game night, but since he only has his Wii, and we're kind of excessively 360 oriented, I think that's probably what happens. Maybe we should try maybe we could get Wesley and him and we
could
have
the Wii online sucks. We can't even talk to one another. We'd have to get on our phones to even talk to one another. It's just the Wii is inherently a terribly designed system.
Well, my opinion from the beginning has kind of been it's for kids and B, it really is like a novelty. I hate to say that because that's so cliche at this point. But, after the wand thing with Wii Sports wears off, I'm just like, I'm certainly not going to go spend money on buying a game, especially if you have choices. It's like if I can get 360 or the Wii, I mean, come on. It's like, and Lucas's birthday was coming up, and even he knew the difference. It's like, so, buddy, what game do you want? I want Lego Star Wars. Would you like it on the Wii or would you like it on the Xbox? Xbox!
I don't want to apologize to Jay Webb because I'm not an apology kind of person, but that's calm down, dude. Like, yeah, we know you like
Andy
your...
said?
That's
the what truth.
Did he say?
That's the truth.
Yeah, I know, it is. But, I mean, it's just like, calm down. We know you like your Wii. You know, play with your Wii. Leave us alone.
Go in the corner and play with your Wii.
Play with your Wii.
You know, another thing, Andy, can we talk about your son's unhealthy obsession with anime?
Yes, absolutely.
You know what, though? I was talking to Wesley earlier today about a great anime series that came out in 2007 called Denocoil that I really loved. And I watched all the episodes on YouTube, and I went on there today to look for the episodes to send to Wesley, and they're not on there anymore. It's like somebody – I think the DVD release came out in Japan, and now the company that owns the rights went after the people on YouTube and had them remove them.
Now, Andy, you got to be careful with some of that. Some of that stuff is pretty sexually explicit.
Well, I trust him, but
Ninja Scroll.
The hard part is that he wants to share his interests with me, and it's like I'm a failed sci-fi parent. It's like somehow he got skirted off into Hayao Miyazaki, and then it all was downhill from there. And so now
it was gateway anime.
Exactly.
It's like a gateway drug.
Door through that Spirited Away film, which I still haven't seen, but I hear is really great.
Oh, I do love that. And
Damn you, my friend Totoro!
And Princess Mononoke. Whatever it's called.
Roscoe Pigo, or whatever that thing is called.
Yeah, Rocco. Rocco Posco, or whatever.
Dude, Spirited Away is awesome.
Yeah, it's
I would rather him get into that than many other things.
All right.
I think it shows he's intelligent. He's not willing to.
It's like smoking pot or anime. I'm going to go with anime.
Well, I hope at 11 he would.
Take smack or watch anime.
Yeah,
meth lab.
You slice it. When you make a kid into kind of a geek nerd, it's a good thing because then they may not go into other territories. You know, Jason and I were having that conversation about how Emma's turning into kind of a sci-fi comic book video game geektress herself. And it's like I told him, I said, yeah, she'll grow up to be the chick that we all wanted when we were
She'll be the one that we would have drooled over when we were.
Oh my god, a girl who likes games and understands comic books.
Yeah, I wanted to be like Wendy Watson in The Middleman. So that's what I'm aiming for.
As long as Wesley doesn't get into like Kiki's Delivery Service, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, he hasn't watched that one yet. So he's given me some pretty weird titles. Like he's like Oron High School Social Club, and I'm like, what the hell?
Buena Vista Social Club. They're all Cuban.
I don't know.
And jazz then,
and
artists.
Panny Pony Dash, and I'm like, what is this?
What?
Yeah, it's got little animals in it and stuff. It's, you know, I don't know, man.
It's like, what do you do if it creeps you out? Like, I don't know. This creeps me out.
And he wanted to watch Full Metal Alchemist, but it was pretty. It had like. But I'm just like, you know, I've been hitting shoes.
So, Full Metal Alchemist is pretty adult.
Andy, get him some old Star Blazers. Now that stuff is
nice. You know, Galaxy Rangers.
I've got every Speed Racer here, and he kind of dug that a little bit. I don't think he watched it all. But it's probably.
I don't think he likes the mech stuff. I was trying to get him to get into Gundam.
See, that's what I love. He got me into that because I started, you know, and then you suggested Appleseed, and my head exploded. I love
that stuff.
That was so badass.
I love mech anime because I grew up on Voltron and Macross and Robotech and, you know, stuff like that. So I eat up the mech anime.
Well, what's in the other one, the Ghost in the Shell I saw, and my brain just imploded.
Oh, that's one of those. Yeah, that's one of those movies that, like, it gets to the point where, like, you can't quite understand it all.
You know, other ones that, Metropolis.
That's just a terrific movie.
Giant Megalopolis? Is that what it's called? There's something called Doomed Megalopolis. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm definitely a noob in the anime world, but I try to, you know, listen to what he says, and so I don't just totally ignore the kids. So
there's a couple people on the saloon forums that know anime, so they should be able to put him in the right direction, like nothing too adult.
They've pointed to some things like One Piece seems pretty interesting, and
yeah, One Piece is cool.
He gets all bitchy about anything that's for kids made because they always edit it and cut it and redub it.
That's very true.
I really love the cartoon Trigun. Does that count?
Trigun. Haven't heard of that.
That's awesome.
To me, anime is still, you know, Speed Racers, Star Blazers, all that.
Battle of the Planets.
Seriously.
He's like, isn't Johnny Quest anime? Come on. You know?
Awesome.
You know, so. Ooh,
all right.
Did you hear that? Ooh, I heard a pop. I heard a boom.
Uh-oh.
Oh, crap.
I just headed for storm 5, backing up the bodies. The tornadoes will be increasing over Chambers County and will extend west across the bend.
We're probably going to lose power pretty soon.
Oh, crap.
But that boom was probably a transformer.
Oh, that's
Transformers!
it was jazz. Hey, what's up, buddies?
All right, Andy. Well, we need to move on with the show. And you want to call us again later? Go ahead and do it. We hope.
Bunker down, man.
We'll be thinking about you, buddy.
Thanks, guys, and we'll let you know what happens.
All right. I think you can pick us up on that weather radio, too.
Oh, yeah.
You can pick up Nowhere and Mulberry on this.
It keeps cutting in between Nowhere and Mulberry. And,
all right, buddy. Check you later.
All right, guys. All right, see you soon.
Bye. We hope for nothing for the best of Andy. Let's get into entertainment. Let's do it. Now I was going to talk about Forbidden Kingdom during the entertainment segment.
Sorry.
No, no. It's okay. But Burn After Reading came out today, the new Coen Brothers movie.
Sucker's getting panned.
I can't tell what is going on with it in the thing, but Coen Brothers movies are usually funny, you know?
Yeah, everything I'm hearing is that it sucks.
Well, I've read some good reviews for it, too.
Oh, okay, good.
The thing is, some of the reviews I've read were, like, Entertainment Weekly gave it a C. It sounds like some people don't like the fact that they didn't stay in the same mode as No Country for Old Men. Kind of like make another serious movie, in a way. Another drama.
I like their black comedies.
Yeah, they decided to go light with this movie, just a silly movie. And, you know, I got to see every Coen Brothers movie. And I was thinking about what Coen Brothers movies I have not seen. And I've never seen Intolerable Cruelty. Never seen that.
Yeah, but that's not really a Coen Brothers movie. That's just directed. They didn't write it.
Okay, and I've never seen The Man Who Wasn't There with Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah. I have that on DVD, but never watched it.
Me too.
And I've never seen The Lady Killers with Tom Hanks. Didn't they do that?
That's a directed, not written.
And all I've right. got that too, and I have never watched it.
It's almost like, nah, not interested. And this movie's close to that, but I don't know. We'll check it out. What the hell?
The trailer cracks me up.
Yeah, Brad Pitt looks pretty silly in it. What the hell?
When he gets punched in the face by, what's his name?
John Malkovich.
That his reaction's classic.
Yeah, what the hell? We'll check it out.
I'll wait for the DVD.
What other movies are we waiting to come out? I have no
idea. Summer's pretty much over.
Yeah. I'm waiting more for video games. Like, Force Unleashed comes out next week, right?
Yeah, and a great ATV racing game called Pure that I played the demo of on Xbox Live, and it's pretty fun.
Is it pretty awesome?
Yeah, lots of jumps and tricks and stuff. I'm a sucker for that stuff.
I like that kind of stuff for like a day, and I'm like, I need to shoot something.
Oh, Righteous Kill comes out this weekend.
Ooh, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The billboard's plastered all over Battlefield Bad Company, and I had no idea it was even coming out this weekend. So there you go. That worked really well for you guys. Righteous Kill.
That movie is getting panned.
Is it really?
More than Burn After Reading. Burn After Reading's kind of 50-50. This movie's getting panned. Righteous Kill. But it's got
I'm waiting
Gugino
for the family
it.
That prays. Tyler Perry's the family that prays.
Yeah. I was like, this dude is prolific, man. How many friggin' movies does he have in production? Yeah, we'll check that out. Let's go ahead and get into what's on our TiVo. Now, I don't know if you guys know this, if you don't watch TMZ, but Kanye West attacked a photographer in an airport. Let's check it out.
Please! Stop.
I got it. I took it.
Please,
took it.
Help! Help me!
Help me!
Help me, Jesus! Help me!
He smashes the camera.
That's Kanye West at LAX.
Oh, that guy's voice.
Botox camera moments before he attacked the TMZ cameraman who caught the whole thing on tape.
Still photographer took two pictures of him, and then all of a sudden Kanye just ran right at him and grabbed his camera and they started wrestling together.
Now, that's the kind of thing where Kanye didn't know. It probably wouldn't have made anything if he just would have let them take his picture. No one would have cared him standing in line at airport. But he turned it into a story by doing that.
Well, you know what? I mean, yeah, he's an idiot. Need we forget the George Bush doesn't like black people moment with Mike Myers. But is it really that big of a – I don't know. Maybe he's just getting really upset that photogs are always up your ass. I mean, they always got to snap a picture.
Yeah,
always.
I don't blame him at all. I think it's kind of funny when I see that happen. Now, did you guys see, apparently, I don't watch this anymore because I'm, you know, older than the demographic. The MTV Music Awards happened, the Video Awards.
I was trying to watch it just for this show.
Well, first of all, I kept seeing...
I, I, just couldn't.
I kept seeing all week, Brittany's back. She's back to form. You know, look, she's been working out. She looks normal.
She's been working out. She looks normal. But what's wrong with her head?
Yeah, it's no one remembers that everyone thought she had mental problems. But, hey, you know, you get a makeover and everything's fine. Your life's back
together. She has her hair. She, you know, she didn't shave it.
And the winner for best female video is... Britney Spears, peace
of shows no one has taste.
I first want to thank God, first and foremost, for just blessing me like
this. He had nothing
to
do with it, honey.
My beautiful family.
I grant you an MTV Music Award.
And my fans, this is for you. Thank you so much.
And the winner for best pop video is... Britney Spears!
Little Moon Man is cool. Thank you so much. I'm speechless. First, again, I want to thank God for blessing me like this.
Like, oh, my God.
Family.
Yeah. And I want to thank God for creating time travel speed.
And
possible.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you a lot. Thank you.
Britney Spears, peace of mind.
She's off the blacklist, you guys.
Wow. Thank you. I'm in shock right now. I was not expecting this. This is such an honor to have this award
right
now.
She's not crazy anymore. She can
have
awards and stuff,
Steven. I just want to dedicate this to all of my amazing fans out there for all of your support. Thank you.
I want to dedicate this to the man, Doc Brown, who created the Flux Capacitor.
She's still full of class.
All of a sudden, everybody's forgotten about Brittany and Kevin's chaotic.
So, okay, that's Brittany.
So that makes you sane, winning Moon Man Awards.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. She's all back to normal. That's what I kept reading. She looked gorgeous. She's not insane anymore.
Look, she knows how to bathe now.
It's all about image, which is funny. I mean, we always knew that. It's all about image. But, like, when you look like you're not working out as much, and she didn't look good anymore, and, you know, she can't
sing.
You look
like the average person.
Remember, last year or the year before when she was at the last movie awards, and it was a disaster? People thought she was drunk on stage and stuff. Her career's over. Hey, she's back. They were wrong. Now, Jessica Simpson was on Letterman last night, and...
Yay.
I knew they would talk about...
Yeah.
I love this, dude. I knew they would talk about Tony Romo and the Dallas Cowboys, so I had to check it out.
Dallas fans are saying, oh, please, don't go to a game.
Yeah.
You're a jinx.
Yeah.
Now, how did that happen and how did that make you feel?
I really think it's because I was wearing a pink number 9 jersey and not a blue one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What?
If you had been in blue... That would have been a problem.
Well, so far I've been wearing blue, and they're doing right.
Yeah. So, because he's down there, hot babe up in the box, wants to do well.
Yeah, I don't do the whole thing anymore.
She's talking about shaking her breasts.
You know, I was like, woo!
Like whenever he looks up there with her.
I wear hats and kind of do the prosthetics.
All right, but...
Huh? Now,
what?
I remember last year at
the fake chin and the
yeah. I remember last year at the Thanksgiving game. I honestly thought that he wasn't completing passes. There was something flat about what he was doing. And then they kept showing Jessica Simpson up in the stands, and I automatically was like, "Oh man, he's trying to show up for his girl, and now." He can't seem to get it together, is
or
what
he
it was.
Just got some
he was flat, but she's
energy.
Not.
They always say that. Have you ever heard that the athletes say you don't have sex the night before a game?
Yeah. That's a misnomer.
Well, that's what we're saying. We're joking about.
So
I'd have sex during the game if I was him. I'd just bring her right down on the field and go at it.
So okay,
just
we
don't
have
a nipple show.
Huh?
What?
The
no,
Super
you'd
Bowl.
Have to have
oh,
them
yeah.
out all the way.
It's just so dated. No, wait, what
yeah,
was
it? Shit. I see, it's so dated
costume,
I didn't even realize what he was talking about until just now.
I was trying to think of the term it was. A
costume failure.
Costume, yeah.
Malfunction.
Wardrobe
malfunction.
Wardrobe malfunction, yeah, okay. Okay, Matt Damon was on The View.
Good job, Steven.
Just like, would you say he shot the wheels off or... that's a good term.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. It's good stuff. All right. So, Matt Damon, apparently...
Way to go, Steve. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Matt Damon was talking about this Sarah Paulin chick. And apparently it really pissed off Elizabeth on The View. Let's check this out.
What doesn't piss her off?
It's like a really bad Disney movie. You know, the hockey mom, you know, oh, I'm just a hockey mom from Alaska, and she's the president, and it's like she's facing down Vladimir Putin, and, you know, using the folksy stuff she learned at the hockey, you know, rink, you know, it's absurd. It's totally absurd, and I don't understand why more people aren't talking about how absurd it is.
To say that, what is she, a hockey mom, and then all of a sudden she's going to be vice president of the United States? I mean, to really... To make a statement like that, A, without research, and B, I don't know where she's been. And I was a good, huge fan of Good Will Hunting. Feel a little bit of anger while watching.
Nothing.
I think that here's the deal.
Don't make
Good Will Hunting. She governs.
I don't care what Matt Damon says.
He's cute, but he cannot get away with saying that she's just a hockey mom.
Why can't anybody get away with anything they want
to
say?
Look, he is entitled to say it, but I think to just a hockey mom itself is something offensive.
Shut up!
That is very offensive.
Wait, she's the one that a few weeks ago was talking about how the N-word shouldn't be used or should be used, and now she's saying that now we're not allowed to use hockey mom?
Yeah, she was saying that it isn't right to use the N-word, even if you're black or whatever. And
okay,
yeah.
So now we're not allowed to use the hockey mom because we're white?
No, that's offensive.
Another offensive term.
It's very offensive. Now, I have some good news.
She's a freaking idiot. I hate her.
I just get
honestly,
the feeling
she should just keep her mouth shut. Just sit there and look pretty.
I get
that's
the feeling that the rest of the people at the table are just like, oh Christ.
Yeah, here she goes again.
She's talking again.
It's absurd. It's totally
and you know
absurd.
What? Matt Damon's right. He's absolutely 100% right. This woman is a junior governor. She's hardly been in politics that long. We're going to trust her with foreign policy.
Bill,
this
we're
woman
not
from Podunk, Alaska,
on Mulberry.
I'm sorry.
But we will talk about the greatest American dog, though. As long as it's stupid, we'll talk about it.
The greatest American dog is...
Who is it? Who is it? Fine. Hong Kong Fooey!
Yay!
Congratulations.
Who?
Congratulations.
I think it was Hong Kong Fooey.
You won a quarter of $1 million.
Is that dog barking in the background?
Oh, his name is Presley.
Presley, man. Presley deserves to
Presley.
Be the greatest American dog. I think he's amazing.
Presley
man.
Sounds really excited
and
like he knows
I
what he won.
Is the greatest American dog.
Hey, George. I'm the greatest American dog.
Oh, all right, Presley. Got a whole lot of money. Then he started singing after he won the award.
He deserves it if he sang this.
He's a singing dog. Greatest American dog.
So he went from Greatest American Dog to America's Got Talent?
That's that stupid ventriloquist singing with this stupid dog puppet or whatever.
Oh, he's really good.
Great stuff. Now, here's what I want to know. They're like, you're now the greatest American dog. Who gives them the authority on their stupid show to name him the greatest American dog, all right?
Who cares if they're the greatest American dog?
Yeah, who cares if you're the greatest American dog?
I mean, really, what does that give you? The opportunity to go to, like, PetSmart and outside and just
going to
come meet the greatest American dog.
What does he put his paw in ink and he gives you a paw
autograph.
Yeah, be outside the man's Chinese theater.
I can't wait to hear him getting into drugs and stuff like Britney and he's in rehab.
And then he's going to get in a car accident and paralyze his best friend.
Oh, man. His best friend will have one of those wheel things in the back.
Yeah, two wheels.
Every time he looks at it, he gets...
A dog wheelchair, like that, like the Jack Russell and Babe Pig in the City.
It's all downhill from here, Presley. Yes. Now, guys, do you ever watch those Bitches on the Hills? You ever watch that show?
No.
No.
It's supposed to be real or whatever with girls or like, talking and shopping and stuff.
No, it's not real, honestly.
Oh, my
really.
God. There's that one girl. I'm not a she's a bitch. I don't want to talk to her. Oh, my God. So, anyway, this week they decided to hook up. And the best part about this clip is how the producers kick in the Coldplay at just the proper point in them making up their friendship.
Wait, two girls hooked up?
They make up their friendship. They've been enemies.
Oh, I thought you were saying they had lesbian sex. I was like, why am I not watching this?
Hey, maybe they did. But listen, right as they embrace, they kick in the Coldplay. It's awesome.
If you really, really want to say, like, let's go back, let the past be the past, that would make me so happy because that's all I want. That's all I want. All I want is for you to just be my friend again. Okay, well, let's do it. We used to be such good friends, you know? I'm sorry. It's okay.
And in the top right-hand corner of the screen, it says, now playing Coldplay.
Yeah. On sale at Amazon. Okay.
God, that show's terrible.
I saved the lesbian stuff for Top Model, Bill. This time, they weren't. This may be a good season, besides there being a transsexual in there. Instead of fighting, the women decided to kiss and make out. Let's check it out.
Everybody brought out a funny little secret, and I was there.
Is that Ricky Martin in the background?
Just use your imagination.
Amazing. I saw fireworks.
Whoa.
That's a good kid.
It was great to finally kiss her. She has very soft lips.
I'm going home a lesbian.
Hot lesbian, man. Just yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Should we get into Kitchen Nightmares a little bit?
Sure.
The funniest show on television? At least this week.
I love the Kitchen Nightmares. And let's see, what was the place called? The Handlebar?
The Handlebar.
Okay, I try not to judge, but these people, oh my God.
Can you say white trash?
You know, the woman reminded me of our old manager, Terry, a bit. She looked a little, like, worse for wear, 100 miles of rough road, whatever you want to say.
Road hard and put away wet.
Yeah, all of that.
And more than once.
You have the husband who looks like he's been smoking way too many cigarettes in his lifetime.
Wishes he was the Marlboro man so bad. Yeah.
And his handlebar.
The killer mullet and the bad red marks on his nose from wearing the sunglasses all the time.
Don't you know that he just reeks like an ashtray wherever he goes?
Oh, he totally does.
And I just love the way he just constantly talking to himself. He don't be talking to me.
Here's what I love. Okay, first of all, let's start out like this. The chef, when they go to this place, you know, Gordon Ramsay always tries the food or whatever. The chef is like, I don't even want to be a chef. I don't like this. You know, I don't like the food or whatever. And I love, here's a clip here where Gordon Ramsay kind of talks to her, and she just starts talking. It's kind of like, what? Let's check it out.
When the fondue arrived, I mean, that's just a joke.
I don't enjoy the fondue either.
But you're the chef, aren't you? You're the one that's, you know, you're running it as the head chef, right?
That's the intent.
So, change it.
I don't know. What to do about it?
Have you lost your passion?
I never had a passion to begin with. I don't want to be a chef.
I was really shocked that that's the way she felt.
So you're not a chef?
No.
I had applications for the job here as a chef when she approached me and said, would you give me the opportunity? I mean, you don't ask for that opportunity if you don't care what you're doing.
Why did you take the job, Melissa, if you're not a chef?
The other guy was going out that was here.
Okay.
Fire her on the spot.
The situation was as bad as I'm finding out minute by minute.
Wow. You know,
it's like the only people who seemed to care about it were the woman, the co-owner of the bar, and the wait staff.
Yeah. What I didn't understand is never through the episode, I figured that Gordon Ramsay was going to sit down with the chef and give her a passion. It was just like he never spent the time to do that. Weren't you expecting that? Like, okay, what's your story here? And gave her a reason to get excited again. It was like all of a sudden, like, I'm excited about my job again. It's like, no, you're not. You're just on the game with
that. Yeah, she, that and the fact that there was no real change to the place. I mean, some slight decor changes, but he made the wait staff clean the fridge.
Yeah.
It's like no steam clean group or anything
came in. I don't think he made
in.
Them. They decided they went in there and cleaned it kind of on their own.
Well,
And then the girl went out and had a cigarette and hawked a freaking oyster of a loogie across the parking lot.
I love the women who spit.
I mean, that was quite possibly one of the most disgusting and funniest moments I've ever seen on television.
It was pretty nasty. But they didn't even change the decor outside, the bad handlebar sign. But,
oh,
I mean, they did make the inside look nice.
With the wood paneling.
What was it with the weird part where, okay, well, let me not get there yet. I was going to talk about the customers turning on each other. But
yeah, why did they even throw that in there?
Don't talk to my parents that way.
Talk to my parents that way, lady.
But here's when their first dinner service goes bad, and he decides to tell the owner, and he's like, that's not that bad.
Billy, customers are complaining about the food. You can't walk around oblivious to the fact that you think this is good.
Yeah, but it's not bad in everybody's opinion.
He's like, what?
You can't take care of everybody's taste buds. Something that some people like, other people aren't going to like that at all. No one's got any...
That's right. It's subjective.
Control.
Flavor is subjective.
And basics here that have just gone completely
wrong.
If you accept it, everybody else has accepted it. And truthfully, you've accepted it.
Oh, absolutely not.
I was kind of really disappointed. I knew we needed help. I didn't think we were that bad. I was quite skeptical about his intentions. Whatever.
What the hell do you think he's there for, dude?
Yeah. Just like him.
When was the last time that fridge was steam cleaned?
I had the kid in there doing it last week.
Did you check what he'd done?
No, obviously not.
So why can't you act like a man and do something about it?
Yep. My God. No. I just don't even know what to say anymore. He just keeps tearing apart everything that wasn't done and not giving me credit or pat on the back for things that were done.
Ah! Unbelievable. So that just proves and confirms how weak this guy is. He's not running this place. This place is running him and is in need of a serious clean. That is appalling.
Sake, I want to hand it to you. Your place is going down the shitter, but you really did a nice job cleaning this rack over here. You know?
That's what does he expect to be complimented on?
I have no idea. Well,
honestly, he's been there for one day. The place is a disaster, and Gordon Ramsay's supposed to go. You know what it is? It was Gordon Ramsay's fault because he said that the soup was good. Whenever he tried it, he was like, "This is good soup."
There's a part where he's sitting there tasting things, and the wife is at the bar. She's like, "Oh my God!" Like hiding her eyes. Do they not know that he's there to improve their restaurant? Like.
Yeah, it's whatever he says, like, dude, okay, I'm
it's like,
open.
Here's
Talk
what's wrong.
Me.
The food sucks.
Okay.
Your chef sucks.
What do we do to fix this?
Yeah, but instead it's like, no, my food's pretty good. You just don't like it. Taste is subjective. It's like, who are you trying to fool, buddy?
You know what? I would have even maybe agreed with the guy if he said taste is subjective.
Yeah, what did he say? It's like
he doesn't even have the vocabulary
he's
for
like,
that. He says, well, that's your opinion.
Yeah, it's good for somebody. It's not good for another person. What was that weird crepe, seafood crepe thing?
Oh,
who the hell would order that?
Yeah, it was like something right out of the menu at Chi Chi's.
Like, and I like that it was like the fake crab.
Yeah, I'd like a fried fish fillet and wrap a pancake around it.
Yeah. You know what it was? It wasn't even a crepe. It was a flour tortilla.
Or he goes, crepe, more like. Crap. I was like, that was too easy, Gordon. Come on. You can do better than that.
Yeah, but when it's so easy, it's just you have to go there.
I love it.
That is appalling.
I know.
And then the
when he stuck his finger into that clam, and it looked like he pulled, like, cud, like cow chewed
I was
cud.
Eating lunch at that part, and I turned around, and I could just hear him talking about it, and it was still making me sick. Yeah. Just because I was imagining, he's like, oh, look at that. Look at me put my hand in this crap and squeeze it. Look at this.
I know. Does he have to do that?
Why does he sticks his hand in anything
hand
and holds
it
to the camera?
Did you notice that he cut his hand whenever he was, like, pulling that greasy shit out of the fryer? Because it was bleeding all the way down his arm.
Oh, would you love
I would have ran for a tetanus shot.
They ran out of vegetables, so she gave him like frozen
radishes.
Oh, and then the broccoli stalks. Chopped up broccoli.
They had fresh broccoli in the refrigerator, but she gave them radishes.
Yeah, he's like, did you know you had this last night? You had fresh broccoli right here. She's like,
I can't know everything.
I can't. Yeah, what am I supposed to do? It's like I would have fired her instantly.
It's nothing I like more with a steak than some radishes.
Yeah, he goes, so what do you think of the radishes? Goes, honestly, I don't really like radishes. Want this for my steak. When I think of steak, I want vegetables. And I was like, when I think of steak, I think fries. Fries and ketchup.
Fries or some taters.
I'm high class. Give me a shot of whiskey.
Oh, and then they mix the leftover baked potatoes with the powdered potatoes.
Yeah.
To make them go further.
Let's not forget about the best part. Special guest, Dee Snider.
I started howling when that happened.
When he rode in on the motorcycle, and I was thinking about, like, exhaust in the restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, no. When I was like, dude, we're eating here. Get your friggin' motor. You can, and I love he goes, you can bid on this bike at the Handlebar website, and it's like, dude, what's the URL, all right?
Yeah.
Handlebar.com.
And he always just looks greasy.
Yeah,
the hair and everything.
I'm gonna get a long
Dee
Snider hair in my food, thank you. Gross. And there's a part where there's just a cutaway of him saying, this is a great menu. It's like, hey, who fed you that line?
Well, hell, Dee Snider says it. It must be good.
It's like, damn, Twisted
when
Sister
likes
it.
When I think good food, I think Dee
Snider. Yeah, exactly.
They did that motorcycle ride. Hey, I've been watching Sons of Anarchy. I don't want them making my food. All right? They'll probably put dead Mexican in it. You'd have to watch the show to know what I'm talking about. It wasn't racist, I swear.
Mexicans.
All right.
You know what? Good thing Elizabeth Hasselbeck doesn't listen to this show.
That is appalling.
Very offensive.
I'm very offended by all of this. Lady.
It's absurd. It's totally absurd.
I know. I'm sorry. What do you guys say we take a break because I've got to urinate and we'll be back and talk about other shows like Entourage, Big Brother, True Blood, and Fringe. An all new Fringe. I can't wait to hear the Fox guy say that. All right, we'll be right back, everyone.
No, fellas. Look here, fellas. Let's do one for Mr. Seagram.
Now, look here, Mr. Seagram.
You sound like my kind of guy.
You make that Seagram's golden wine cooler.
And you make it wet and dry.
Oh, now, Mr. Seagram. You're my kind of guy.
My kind of guy.
Your daughter, the dancer. She may seem a little awkward to others, but you can see all the potential charm and grace of a ballerina. Until then, she needs a lot of good nutrition and iron to help ensure she grows strong and healthy. Yet a government survey showed that 9 out of 10 kids didn't get the recommended levels of iron. But Flintstones Plus Iron helps kids get the iron and 10 essential vitamins their growing bodies need. Flintstones. We make them for kids because the odds are against them.
Mom? What's rocket fuel made of?
Look it up, dear. Look it up, dear.
Stay tuned for a free offer from Encyclopedia Britannica.
Come taste the adventure. Come reach to the sky. Come feel the excitement of who, what, where, why.
Open Britannica.
Explore and you'll find that living
find out more about Britannica for your child, call toll-free
1-800-533-9800.
And we'll send you this free booklet. And just for previewing Britannica in your own home, you can get this 3-volume desk reference set absolutely free. So call this number now.
There's experience for a lifetime in Britannica.
Call now.
Hi, we're the new kids off the block.
Now you can hang up with us 24 hours a day on our brand new hotline.
Just pick up your phone and call us on 1-900-909-5KIDS.
You hear our most secret day-to-day thoughts, but check this out. We'll tell you all about our brand new talking fan club hotline.
Word.
It'll blow your mind, so call us right now.
Plus, a portion of each call helps us support United Cerebral Palsy.
So remember, we'll be loving you forever.
See ya. $2 for the first minute, 45 cents for each additional minute. Kids, get your parents' permission first.
Chicago. A man is about to get on a routine flight. Suddenly he pauses. He doesn't know why, but he's got to walk away. An hour later, the plane goes down in flames. It's dismissed as chance. Britain. A woman has a sudden image of a black mountain that's moving, with children trapped underneath it. 2 hours later, a Welsh schoolhouse is buried in an avalanche of coal slag. It's dismissed as coincidence. Northern Texas. An unidentified flying object is reported by at least a dozen people. Although there were no storms in the area, it's dismissed as lightning. Now, Time Life Books announces an important new library, Mysteries of the Unknown, a series that explores the most controversial phenomena of our time and tells you everything that can be known. The Midwest. A mother feels a sharp pain in her right hand. Far away at that exact same moment, her daughter screams as she touches a hot pan. Just chance? Or is it telling us something about our own untapped capabilities? Mysteries of the Unknown goes deeper into unexplained phenomena than ever before. It documents the facts and uncovers what people were never willing to talk about. Stonehenge. A visitor fashions a wire antenna in the shape of an ancient Egyptian symbol. He points it at the stones, and a surge of power rushes into his arm, knocking him unconscious. Was it all in his mind, or was it much more than that? To experience Mysteries of the Unknown, examine your first volume, Mystic Places, for 10 days free. Then decide if you want to dismiss it.
To order your first book, Mystic Places, call 1-800-342-2700. Examine it for 10 days. Keep it and pay just $12.99 plus $2.98 shipping and handling. Other books will follow, one about every other month. Keep only the ones you want. Cancel at any time. Call 1-800-342-2700.
Some say he's nuts.
To the moon, Alice!
Some say he's bolts.
Muchas gracias.
But everyone agrees he's America's most electric leading man.
Lucy, I'm home.
He's
the all-new Johnny 5. Just look at these items. Increased memory, 500 megabytes online. I come with a utility pack, dozens of gadgets for outdoor living, lots of green pea stickers, and even my own Nike swoosh.
Now he's back and haywired for laughs in his newest motion picture adventure, Short Circuit 2.
Winners all the time. Keep your eye on the red card. Red card. Get away from me. Kid, you bother me.
So keep your eye on the current thing, Short Circuit 2.
Remember me? I'm the kid that had a report to on space. Then I got the new Encyclopedia Britannica.
He had a report due on space, and then he got the new Encyclopedia...
I think I made that abundantly clear.
Yes.
Anyhow, here it is. I mean, hey, everybody knows this is the greatest encyclopedia in the world. Help me get a B+.
Why not an A?
Too long. I found so much great information, I put it all in. Overkill. The next report I did was for my science class on the human body. Scored an A.
Good.
Look at this. I always wondered where my mandibula was.
Mm-hmm. For details on how you can own the new Encyclopedia Britannica...
Let's have that 800 number. Excellent.
Just call this number and we'll send you this free booklet.
Tell them about the gift.
And just for previewing Britannica in your home, we'll give you this 3-volume desk reference set.
This is like having your own research library at home.
Yes. So if you would be interested in owning the new Encyclopedia Britannica...
Don't press. They see the phone number. If they want to, they'll call.
I guess you're right.
Trust me.
I'm gonna have some fun. Oh yeah. And we're back, everybody. I'm back from the break.
Sucks.
Hey.
Easy.
I had a lot of Skittles during the break, Bill.
Oh, you didn't? I had some Chex Mix.
Steven, what did you have?
I had a giant Reese's peanut butter.
Cup. Reese's!
Reese's!
Reese's Pieces!
Reese's Pieces!
I gotta love that Reese's!
The big king-size peanut butter cup.
I've noticed you've been drinking a lot of the vitamin water. How is that stuff?
It's like a real weak Gatorade.
Because you used to drink like the big old tall boy energy drinks. Did that... I'm trying to
get away from all the sugars and everything. I need to lose 25, 30, 40 pounds.
Are those energy drinks just loaded with caffeine and sugar?
Yeah. I mean, you see...
Well, those vitamin waters aren't much better. Those are loaded with sugar.
No, they're actually not. They're
loaded with vitamins.
It's pills. About half the sugar of a 12-ounce can of soda.
I'm making vitamin water. I crunch up some multivitamins, drop it in water, and stir it up.
There's 13 grams of soda. There's no salt in it.
Nice. Low sodium.
Well, you know, every time you buy one of those, you put money in 50 cents pocket.
Well, that's, you know, right. I'm trying to get to drinking just plain water, but I still need some flavor.
Yeah, you know what? It's best to hit like the Crystal Light and stuff like that.
I'm breaking down because, I mean, I was drinking, you know, 6-8 Dr. Peppers a day.
Wow.
Easy.
Jesus. Holy Jesus!
You sound like Vanessa. And, she drank those like they're going out of style.
And now I'm trying to get like one a day, maybe.
That's good. You know, 50 Cent is in the new movie.
Righteous Kill.
I'm excited about it.
It's not for Curtis,
50 Cent Jackson.
Yeah, it's not for Pacino or De Niro. It's for 50 Cent, all right?
All I know is I got to get his game, Blood in the Sand or whatever, where he goes to Iraq and tears shit up, I guess.
Righteous Kill.
Really? Is it kind of like Bad Company, only with 50 Cent?
I don't know. I would hope not. Because that would really suck.
Now, we had a few new shows like Fringe and True Blood. No, I got to say those better. You know, there's nothing better than the title Dirty Sexy Money. That's like my favorite name to say of a show. But Fringe. It's too hard to say that name. Like Fringe. No, I got nothing.
No,
so, anyway.
Oh, no. Every time I think of Fringe, I think of the area around the green of a golf course.
I thought you were going to say the areola.
The areola?
Like woohoo, the fringe of the...
Can we start talking about Jessica Simpson again?
Bill, Sarah Connor Chronicles is back. One of your favorite shows. And it has a new cast member, the chick from Garbage... Shirley Manson. I was telling Steven I was making bad jokes through the whole thing to my wife, torturing her, and go, what's this garbage? Or I was like, she's a stupid girl. And it's just like, oh, make it stop.
Oh, man, you whipped out the stupid girl?
Yeah, sorry. I don't know that many songs. I was waiting for it to rain in the show, so I'd say, this is the only time she's happy. But it never happened. Hopefully later in the season it'll rain on the show, so I can whip that one out. But, you know, I was talking to Annie about the show, because we really like the show, Bill. I know that you don't like it that much, or you think it's really cheesy.
I think it's stupid.
Yeah, you think it's stupid. I was thinking kind of like, I forgive it a lot, almost like early Smallville. It's got enough cool in it to hold me in, and I know there's some cheese in it. So I'm going to say the show is about a 7 on a scale to 1 to 10 for me. You know what I mean? It's almost like when they do, like, there was a reveal of a T-1000 on the show. And I thought it was
stupid.
I thought it was cool that they revealed that a certain character was a T-1000. The execution may have been a little, like, cheesy. Why was she a urinal when she could have been the sink or something? Like, what if he...
What if he
pissed in her?
Yeah, what if he started urinating? Like, if I was like, holy shit, the urinal is blood. I gotta pee, man. You know,
I think she actually does that, like, regularly that we just don't see. She's a water sports fan.
Is it possible she enjoys that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She's a water sports kind of person.
Golden shower, I believe. There's a part where she's talking to this guy about how, look at those people down there. They look so orderly, but when you get up close to them, they're animals or something. I don't know what the hell she's talking about. She's basically, they're trying to give her the same thing that the agent had in Matrix.
Agent,
like,
Smith, yeah.
Yeah, like, look at these humans or whatever. So anyway,
look at these ants marching. Boom, boom, boom.
The dinosaurs, and now humans will be extinct soon. I hate it in this place. The sweat and the stink. Yeah, all that stuff. But unfortunately, Shirley Manson has never acted before the show or before they started rolling the camera.
Does it really matter for this show? Because quite frankly, all the people act like they've never acted.
I disagree with you, sir.
Oh, come on. The kid that plays
John
Connor is so terrible.
No, he's good.
And the whole scene at the end where he shaves his hair off. Oh, I'm angry now.
No, that showed Bill, what that showed was he's finally taking charge. He's assuming what he's supposed to do. He is the leader of the future, and that's what he's doing. This is the first chapter, man.
It's the first step. I think you're reading into that a little much.
No, I'm not. That is. Don't you remember on Battlestar Galactica when Starbuck gave herself a haircut when she was back to business? That's a sign of change, my friend.
That is such weak writing.
No, it's not. What are you talking about? It was awesome.
Yeah, it was really great.
What would have been better, him getting a haircut or him saying to himself, all right, from here on out, I'm changed. I'm a changed man.
How about him just doing it instead of acting it?
He did. Man. He cut his hair.
Oh, okay.
And he did need a haircut, technically. His hair was getting kind of long.
And did you notice the tie-in to the beginning with the song, the Samson and Delilah thing that... Shirley Manson was singing. It was
I didn't pay attention to the lyrics. Cool. Cool little thing, tie in there. So technically he would be weak, though, if he cut his hair.
Exactly. I think that's what they're trying to say. He is weak. He's weak sauce.
He's not. He's a leader of the future, Bill. Future resistance.
Douchebag.
How dare you? Man would be nothing in the future.
And then scene where they're smashing the summer between the two... the cars, and she's like, oh, don't do it. I love you.
Her name is Cameron. Like, Summer is Firefly, all right?
I love you. You're a freaking robot.
What's her name? River.
River, Summer,
Bill,
whatever.
That part gave me chills. That was cool because you didn't know.
Oh, come on.
You didn't know if she really was serious or not, or if she was just fooling him. You know what? I would have backed the truck up and said, okay, you're back to normal. She would have shot me in the head.
And then exactly.
But don't you love that scene where he's going to kill her or burn her up, and he's like, no, I'm going to put the chip back in. I've been cleaning it in the last 5 minutes. And he sticks it in, and everything's okay. She overwrites her programming just like in RoboCop. There's actually two RoboCop moments in the show. There was that one where she overrides her programming, where you see it go, and she will not terminate him. And then the guy talking to... Bob Morton in the restroom. remember that part?
That's true.
He's like the old man.
In fact, that's what I was waiting for. I just didn't expect
I was like, it's a unisex bathroom. She's taking a dump in there, you idiot. It's like, God, it smells like garbage.
Who does number two work
for? So anyway, here's the scene. The guy's going to take a leak at the urinal, and this is what happens.
God, that bitch pisses me off.
He doesn't like Shirley Manson. Uh-oh. She's a T-1000.
The urinal handle that you string into his eye.
Mr. Tuck.
Oh! Right through the head.
Is Wolfie there? Jeanette?
Now, here's the thing, though. Smallville has ripped off the T-1000 for their show, so we're used to seeing the old bleed coming up.
But listen to yourself. You're comparing a terrible show like Smallville to another terrible show like Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Bill, I'm being dead serious. I do not think this show is terrible. I think you're writing it off.
And dude, I am not writing it off. I watched the entire first
you
season.
You didn't give this show a chance from the pilot episode.
Dude,
you have never given it a
chance.
You prejudged the show before you even the first episode, the pilot. You decided I will not like the show. The show's gay.
I love Terminator. How could I prejudge it from the first episode?
You don't love Terminator. What kind of horse shit is that? I love Terminator. Did you drive to L.A. for the Terminator convention? Don't think so. I did. I'm a fan of Terminator. And this show, it's Terminator, right?
This show pisses on Terminator.
It does not. This show honors Terminator. This show you can tell they love Terminator. They love James Cameron's creations, and they're playing off of it. They don't have a big budget, possibly, and they do what they can with it, but... Even though, say, like an effect like a T-1000 isn't great, not movie quality, you give them kind of,
leeway.
A passing grade.
I have no problem with the special effects. They do what they have to do. My problem is with the writing, the acting, the casting.
I think it's
weak.
I thought it was great when they introduced Derek Reese, Hicks' brother. That's aliens. Kyle's brother. Didn't you think that was cool? Bill, what?
Sorry.
Why are you laughing?
I'm sorry. No, I didn't.
You know, I was talking to J-Webb earlier about this, and...
Oh, really?
We were playing the Terminator game on the Wii.
On the Wii?
Yeah. So, okay, Bill does not like the Terminator show.
No, I really, honestly, I despise it like I despise Heroes.
It's not bad. Shut up.
I'll continue to watch it just so I can make fun of it, like Smallville.
Bill, you have to admit, though, that the casting of Brian Austin Green as... what are you laughing for?
I'm sorry.
Hey, you know what part I love? There's a part where the Terminator, Cromartie, by the Dillahunt guy, Garrett Dillahunt, the black agent says, "I will never help you find them. I will never do the devil's work." And he goes, "We'll see." Kind of like creepy. Wasn't that good? Did you like that, Bill?
It was terrific. It really because you know what, Terminator just like goes, "Okay, I'll save this guy because he could be useful to me."
Hey, this is more advanced Terminator. I was even saying it makes more sense on this show that the Terminator models all look different. Because the Terminator is an infiltration unit. It makes no sense at all that there would be multiple Arnold models. Because...
Well, early on, the first model, yeah, you'd say...
What I'm saying is, in the future, they had Terminators that would find the resistance underground and blend in with them, then kill everybody. But if every time it's Arnold Schwarzenegger, they're like, "Dude, it's a Terminator! That guy, the one last week looked just like that."
Well,
it makes
saying,
more sense if there's other models.
In the
models.
Future, okay, the first model is probably all the same. And then they got to, if the computers would mutate, I guess, if you want to call it mutation or...
Like Screamers?
Yes.
Awesome. No. So, okay.
No, but I mean, that they would essentially say, yeah, you're right. That's when the computer is essentially smart and says, look, we can't all look the same because
right. Honestly, okay, the only reason in the movies that all the Terminators look like Arnold is because it's a movie and you need that box office draw. But since this is a TV show, you don't need to have a starring or box office draw actor to play every Terminator. You know what I mean? It makes more sense that there would be all these different looking ones. Do you agree with me there, Bill?
You know what? I'm not commenting. I'm done.
Bill, are you still watching Big Brother?
Yeah.
Because it's down to Dan in Memphis now, and here's a moment, you know, I tried to pick what I could that was funny. Memphis and Jerry were competing for the second HOH. Dan won the first one. Riding on the airplanes, it was an endurance thing. Well, the thing was they were supposed to do this thing where they punch all the cardboard cutouts in order of who was evicted, right? Did you see that?
Yes.
This is the best part. They revealed the times that it took to do this. Let's check it out.
It's time to see who's going to face off against me in part 3 of the HOH competition. Memphis, let's see what your time was. 8 minutes and 35 seconds. Jerry, you're going to need to beat 8 minutes and 35 seconds to make it to part 3 of the final HOH.
Oh, he's got
Let's
it.
Let's see what your time was. 51 minutes and 22 seconds.
I had to reveal my time, and I was totally
I love the music.
And embarrassed at how badly I did.
So I revealed Jerry's time, I'm like, are you kidding me? Memphis, you just slaughtered the old man. It wasn't even close.
That was pathetic. Wow. And you know, I wasn't expecting that at all when they showed that. I just had to laugh out loud.
Yeah. Poor there was bastard. A moment during a classic Memphis moment during the veto or the eviction speech where he made another one of those if you shoot for the sun type moments.
I love this.
Where he completely butchers some saying.
And he said something about being a renegade, kind of as a nod to who they...
I am so tired of that whole renegade thing.
The best days of our past be the worst days of our future. And if you think about that, a lot of people are like, what? If you shoot for the stars or you shoot for the sun, you know, you're going to wind up in the stars. So...
Now, okay... The best part of the show is when they show the bitter people at the jury house. Let's check that out.
Oh, I hate them.
The jury house sucks. But it's all good because I'm a good guy.
That's how she starts off the conversation. Like, you picture a guy saying, well, how do you like it at the jury house?
Being in the jury house sucks.
Well, you know who's the worst? Easily the worst are April and Michelle.
Yeah, they're just bitter.
Vote someone else to get it. We're losers, and that's why we're here. But when you're in the jury house, you have to suck it up and enjoy the house.
Well, I'm sure that the person walking in is going to find it interesting that I got taken on a luxury competition that they didn't know about.
Oh.
So that should be mighty interesting, shouldn't it?
No.
She's so disappointed.
The one person I don't want to see at this point in time is Jerry.
Yes.
Yeah. He's stuck in there that long. He might as well get a chance.
If Jerry walks through the doors, y'all.
Look at her too. You think we'll be seeing Keisha?
Oh, yes, we will.
Well, I'm hoping to see Keisha. I think it's karma.
Hi, guys.
What the hell's going on?
Keisha has done a lot of backstabbing to me.
What is she talking about?
Yeah, I know.
Come in and not win $500,000.
It's karma, bitch.
She knows everything.
Well, Memphis won.
And he picked me up. Why did he pick you up?
He, it's a good question, huh? He went home.
Ooh.
I'm like,
never came back.
Son of a gun. He is totally evicting me. Oh, I'm so mad at him because I'm like, really? I'm like, he's a coward. Everybody carried you through. He never had to be the bad guy.
Well, I know a lot.
I know you do. I heard you went on a trip with Dan.
I told you guys.
I love that shot now. That was hilarious.
Pulled the rug out from under her.
Didn't tell anybody else.
No, well, I know a lot. Well, shut up.
What he's doing.
She got backdoored.
She's disliking Memphis.
Yeah.
He's a great competitor.
Dan's definitely working on me for the vote.
Oh, I think he was working on me for my vote.
Yeah, we need to hear about this stuff. Where's the DVD
at? Yes. Let's do this.
All right. Show us the DVD.
Let's do some DVDs.
Hold it up to the camera.
Sucks.
Yeah, hold the DVD up to the camera so we can see Big Brother 10 Sequester.
Sucks.
Exactly.
God, wow. I cannot stand that Michelle or April. I think they actually just make shit up.
What I think is funny is I remember April just talking shit about Keisha all the time, not the other way
around. That's all she did.
I hate when people use that, well, karma's a bitch. It's like, it's a show. Nothing really bad's happened to me. You know what?
Yeah, are you Buddhist all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Believe in karma?
Yeah, I still got my my charisma or whatever. It's like, what?
Charisma's a bitch.
It's like, what are you talking about? That's not the word I meant, but you know what I'm talking about. It's like, no, I really don't. Okay, let's talk about True Blood. Did you get to see that, Steven? It
yes.
came on right after Entourage yes. this weekend. Bill, you've seen it?
Yes.
It's a new HBO show. Originally, I thought it was going to be like a 30-minute show like Entourage. I was happy to see that it was an hour.
Yeah.
The first thing I got to say is it's such a strange kind of show. It seems so unique, doesn't it?
I guess at the very beginning when the kids are driving down, they want to try the True Blood.
Uh-huh.
And they're in that liquor store.
Silver from 90210. Did you recognize her?
Yep.
And they're like, you know, the guy behind the counter is this typical vampire-looking dude, you know?
Yeah, I love it. First of all, they see the sign for True Blood. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's the...
A synthetic blood
true
product.
True Calling.
Yeah, it's basically vampires can drink this synthetic blood and it keeps them alive and
they don't have to hunt
people anymore, and they even show like a vampire chick on Bill Maher, she's for vampire rights or whatever. And there's kind of a subtle thing here, it's like kind of in a way vampires represent homosexuality.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's such mysteriousness about it. Ooh, vampire, you know. Some people are fascinated by it, some people are scared. But, you know, he's like, they're like, vampires in Louisiana? He's like, they're all over here. You know, this is where they're at or whatever. But the whole thing is Anna Paquin plays a character named Suki who can read minds. She hears people's thoughts. And I thought that was really cool.
Suki or Snooki?
Yeah.
I think it's Suki.
Suki.
And it's, my little TV guide said Snooki. It had S-N.
I think it's Suki.
Okay, I'm just saying that. I mean,
no.
Maybe it is Snooki.
I think it's Suki.
I thought it was Suki, yeah, but who knows?
Hey, we'll check after the show.
I'm just saying, I'm not 100%.
No, this is first Bill with the Terminator. Now you with this show. I mean, seriously,
Suki, it's Suki, S O O K I E, Suki. Okay.
So anyway, she can read minds, and that's really strange too, isn't it? There's this vampires, and now so we already know watching the show we're in this different world, which is really cool because they do it so well.
Yeah.
And also, everyone is kind of, you know, they're from Louisiana. They're all kind of
redneck.
Yeah, and I love her black friend. She's got a whole,
especially when she's working in the convenience store, or that or no, be the little store. Hardware store. I guess they don't have telephone books and a phone where you come from.
Yeah, just totally sarcastic. Just like, why are you looking
online?
If
I was
going
to drive 3 hours to get some, I think I'd make a phone call to see if they had it.
Just the line where she called herself uppity just cracked me up. I just absolutely loved that.
And I don't know what to say about the show. It's really cool. We don't know that much. It's just started. There's just kind of a creepy factor. This weird white trash couple who... first of all, let's see... Suki works at this bar, and a vampire shows up, and everyone's like, ooh, a vampire, and automatically she's drawn to the guy, and
Mainly because he doesn't put off the thoughts. He has that barrier, so it's calming.
They show her
so she's automatically drawn to him.
Yeah, they show her several times trying to focus so she doesn't hear everybody. And she waits on this white trash couple, and she's like, man, was she retarded? You know, just insulting her.
Yeah, and the one dude's like, I'd like to do this.
Yeah, he's saying horrible things, and the bartender's in love with her, and her black friend's in love with her brother. But these people, apparently you can sell vampire blood and make a lot of money on the black market.
Yeah, it's like a drug or something.
Yeah, he said vampire blood makes you feel...
It keeps you young.
And he said it's great for your sex life. And she's like, I don't have a sex life. But my favorite part of the whole thing, Bill, is when she says, what's your name? And he's like, I'm Bill. She's like, what? Vampire Bill? I love that scene.
It's not like Antoine.
It's not like some, you know, extravagant name or something. He's just Bill. I love that. And
I think there should have been a Bill the Vampire in one of the Anne Rice books.
So
also complicated. Louis Lestat.
Yeah, just Bill. And, you know, she saves the guy from the chick and the scary guy. And we know silver really does affect them. I'm wondering if they're going to show us other things like holy water and stuff like that. Because you've seen so many,
sure they will.
You know, Interview the Vampire, you know, certain things at work. I'm curious. This is based on a series of books, what the rules are. Because, you know, every different vampire movie has their own rules. But it's a very interesting show. And there's a creepy part with their brother hanging out with this chick who he was, you know, doing things with her. And
his head was between her legs.
He knows she had a vampire bite. And she said that she one time did it with a vampire. And he's kind of... grossed out, but he's curious, and she's like, I taped it. You want to watch it? And he's like, yeah. And that was creepy as hell, wasn't it? That
especially his head would spin real fast,
and it was
the vampire like phase shifted,
and he was like looking at the camera, like he knew. And first of all, we already know, like in other vampire lore, you can't photograph a vampire, so it's different here, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're right.
So I thought that was interesting. Like, maybe he was looking at who was viewing it. Like, he was actually looking at him. Like, he knows he's watching. I don't know. It was really creepy. That's all I can say about it. The show is very funny and very creepy at the same time, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I love she tells her grandmother, her and her brother live with her grandmother, and she says, I met a vampire. And she's like, oh, well, how nice. What was he like?
I think the grandmother's had some involvement with vampires before.
She had,
trying to cover it up or something, or make herself look
was he alive
innocent
during the Civil War?
Or, yeah.
She's like, I don't know. You could ask him. She's like, oh, I'd love to, you know. So that's really interesting. But I can't wait to watch more. It's a really intriguing show.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Now, we also have Fringe on Fox, the new J.J. Abrams produced show. And I watched that last night, and I thought it was really cool.
I liked it. He wrote this episode too, right?
You know what? I'm not sure. I meant to pay attention to the credits because I wanted to see if Michael Giacchino did the music too, and I didn't. I didn't even pay attention who directed the pilot.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really good, and, you know, it starts out with this mystery of this weird airplane with some kind of chemical that kills everyone. And then this, what is she, an FBI agent?
Yeah, she's FBI.
And her partner, who ends up being like her boyfriend, secret boyfriend, he gets this shit sprayed on him, and his body is like translucent. You can see through his skin.
Yeah, it's like
and he's in a melting coma, and she needs to get this certain scientist who worked in this stuff, who knows something about something to do with this chemical that affected this guy. But he's in a mental institution because he accidentally killed his old assistant. And that's where Joshua Jackson comes in. He's the guy's son and only family. So it's all this intricate stuff or whatever. But finally, when it gets to the doctor, and I thought he was a very interesting character because he's kind of insane because he's been there so long and his son hates him. And do you think in this episode, well, in the show, did you stop thinking about Pacey and he became this other character? Or did you still think Pacey?
Yeah. Hard because he'd always have those like little witty retorts, and it was just so Pacey Witter-ish. It got on my nerves at one point, and then it finally stopped, like after the father scientist started to show that he was actually, you know,
right. He's very skeptical if his dad's still insane, and he's like, oh yeah, that's safe and stuff like that. He keeps saying little side remarks, but after a while, you know, he starts to think that maybe some of this will work. Like for instance, he tells the agent, I don't know their names yet, I don't remember them, the female agent, who I really like in the show, she won me over by the end of the episode. It's just like, who is this chick? She's some newcomer actress, I've never heard of her
Anna
before.
Anna Torv.
Yeah, she's really good in that. He says that you can link up with someone in a coma, your brainwaves connect together, and you can enter his dreams or whatever, some crazy crap. And here's his explanation. Let's check this out.
Synaptic transfer system, shared dream state.
What do you mean, shared dream state?
Human brain generates a quantifiable electric field. I posited in 1976 that it is possible to synchronize the fields of two distinct minds to allow the sharing of information across the unconscious state, like a string between two tin cans.
You know what's great about that is that it's completely insane.
You're saying I can talk to John in a coma, and he can tell me what the suspect looks like?
It's not an exact science.
It's not even science.
Have you done this before?
I have used this technique to extract information from a corpse once. You can do that if they haven't been dead for longer than 6 hours.
Right, because after 6 hours, that's when they're really dead.
You could access his memories, assuming there's no brain damage. Of course, you'd have to have an electromagnetic probe placed in the base of your skull whilst immersed without clothing in the old tank. And you'd be heavily drugged.
What sort of drugs?
Oh, a mix of ketamine, neurontin, lysergic acid, diethylamide.
That last one's LSD, by the way. Acid?
It'll take at least a few hours. I'd need your help to synthesize it if it's not too much
trouble. Yeah, sure, no problem. That sounds like fun. The man who was just released from the mental institution, he wants to give you a drug overdose, then stick a metal rod into your head and put you naked into a rusty tank of water.
No, I don't want to. No, I'd rather not. I'm just saying I can.
Okay, Olivia. Excuse me for a sec. Now, you're obviously under severe duress, and you haven't slept since Iraq, and the man you care about might die, but I'm telling you, that man will kill you.
You don't understand the procedure.
John will do it for me. Set it up. I'll get DHS authorization to bring John here.
This is unbelievable. This is insane. He is insane, and you're insane for following him.
Excellent. Let's make some LSD.
All right. Let's make some acid. But it was really cool because, you know, it's all like made up science stuff or whatever. And who knows, some
there doesn't have to be any real proof behind it.
They make it very interesting and believable. And they've set up this kind of, would you say, mythology bill with.
Yeah.
There's this mysterious company called Massive Dynamics.
And Massive Damage.
Yeah. massive damage and the weird experiments. And I love she goes to talk to this lady with massive dynamics because the Bill Gates type guy who mm-hmm. runs it used to be partners with this insane scientist and she can't get him. And the lady assumes she has higher clearance than she does. And she shows her this kick-ass robot arm she has. And she talks.
Wasn't that Lady Blair Brown?
Yeah.
She was in Altered States, which they yes. kind of referenced in the show.
Yeah, they had the
the whole water tank thing.
Yeah, the deprivation tank thing. And yeah. It reminded me of Altered States. But she mentions, oh, you mean like the pattern? She was like, the pattern? She was like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you knew about this. I guess your clearance isn't high enough. She's like, oh, no, I can know it. And she's like, no, you can't. So they've hinted at something called the pattern. And there's even the same guy from Lost, that mysterious black man. He wants to recruit her, and I guess we'll find out more on the next episode. But I think it was a good pilot, a very interesting show. And unfortunately, Keen Eddie just doesn't last long on these shows.
No. No. I think people – I was reading somewhere where somebody thought they would bring him back, but I think what they were trying to reference whenever they asked how long he'd been dead was if they could extract the information that – he knew from his head before he died.
Right, right.
Or I don't think they're going to bring Keen Eddie back, guys. Sorry.
No, I think what can happen is he said he wants, like he even mentioned that he wants, you know, talk to a corpse by entering yeah. his brain. You can talk to someone who's been dead. He's only been dead 5 hours or whatever. So anyway, yeah. that's a really cool show. We'll talk about more of that next week. I'm sure they'll have episodes that have nothing to do with the overall storyline, individual episodes. Those will drive everyone crazy. But, you know, that was always happening with this kind of show.
As long as they cut back on the snarky remarks from Joshua Jackson, I'll be fine.
Right.
That was the only thing the only issue I had with
it. In that clip there, you know, he was given the job of skeptic guy. Guys, this is crazy. What are you even talking about this way? You know, it's a bummer to have to be the skeptic. You know, I want to believe.
Well, he's really kind of typecast.
All right, let's talk about Entourage. Entourage is back, and it started out with a review of Medellin by Richard Roper.
Which was hilarious.
Completely panned it. It's like, hey, Al Pacino wants his accent back from Scarface. And they said he looked like Jiminy Glick. It's just a horrible... So then Ari goes into work the next day, and everyone's like, oh, man, that Roper, he sucks. He doesn't know what he's talking about or whatever. And I love Ari makes this announcement.
Attention, everyone, please. Listen up. No one mentioned Richard Roper again. Not today, not ever. By doing so, you are simply announcing that on Sunday nights, instead of doing your job reading scripts, you're watching TV. The next person to mention Richard Roper will be fired. And Lloyd, you will also be fired if you don't answer the phone!
All right, go to office.
I like Medellin, Ari.
Well, then you're an idiot.
Yeah, it was bad. Bad movie. And Vinny, he's hanging out in paradise, having lots of sex with Turtle. Not with Turtle. Turtle's with him. It's like, whoa! You know, what do you say? Even Turtle's getting laid, guys. He's like, this place is great, man. They don't want to leave. And there's some douchebag who has a movie called Danger Beach that he wants Vinny for.
Danger Beach.
And I thought that was cool. It was a cool twist that they finally, they spend the time and they get Vince to come back. He decides to meet with the guy. And the whole thing turns out to be a ruse to get Emil Hirsch to actually do the movie when he sees Vince interested in it. So I thought that was cool. And again, Entourage, I forgot because it's been so long. The show's only like 10 minutes long. You know, it's just like, snap your fingers, show's over. But
I kind of forgot that it was
an
on.
Hour?
Come on.
I know. I did like the Johnny Drama stuff where he won't have his
internet sex with the chick.
That got on my nerves a little bit, but that's just drama.
He won't have the picture taken.
Oh, for the right side.
And the lady, the Czechoslovakian girlfriend that he talks to over his computer.
Yeah, he's like, this is my bad side or whatever. So he's going to get fired from his job, right? Is that what's going to... I don't know. This show's not in reality, for Christ's
sake. No, it's in, like, bizarre Hollywood reality.
I think it exists in the same world as True Blood, maybe. You know, it's possible. Right.
Well, like that when he was rushing to go down to the island to save Vinny, you know, that he would wind up taking the right side picture.
Right. Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, whenever they brought Ben Silverman, the NBC guy.
Oh, because, like, if Vinny's in trouble, I don't care what, you know. So he cares about his bro, you know.
But now he'll have something to blame it on if he gets fired.
Yeah.
It was my right side. See, I told you.
All right. So anyway, we'll talk more about Entourage next week. We're way behind. Let's get into the news, Bill. What do you say?
Okay.
Let's do it. Let's do the news.
Unbelievable.
All right, Bill, the news. What do we got with the news?
Evil shenanigans.
All right, Phoenix. Nice. Phoenix, Arizona. Police are investigating a Phoenix photography teacher after some high school students reported that he played pornographic videos during class.
Oh, my God.
Well, the real audio. The letter reads, 13 students were inadvertently shown, according to the letter Arcadia High School sent home to parents, the letter reads, 13 students were inadvertently shown material inappropriate for the classroom by their teacher. The teenage students said they saw sex videos that were described as torture porn like girls being tied up, in quotes.
What?
Yeah, nice. Let's see here. The student who spoke with ABC 15 did not want to be identified. He then assigned half the class to grab cameras and take pictures. The remaining students had an in-class assignment. She said the teacher had connected his personal computer to a projector screen for a photography lesson. That's when students said the teacher began viewing the videos. He forgot the projector screen was turned on, and he started watching porn, and we were all just, like, sitting there shocked that he was watching this in front of the class.
What the hell?
Students said they did try to signal the teacher, but he never looked up from his computer. Oh.
Our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
He was just all into it. I don't even think he was paying attention to us.
Oh, my God.
He was just all in his computer. We were making comments like, wow, what is he watching, and that kind of stuff. But I think he was too into it to even notice.
That is appalling.
Most students said they weren't offended as much as they were unnerved. I was just creeped out that the teacher that I've known from the beginning of the year could have been watching this the whole time we were in class. That's just gross. He'll watch it in front of kids in that school when he's supposed to be teaching.
You ever perform a sexual act at the library?
Some students wondered how many times the teacher had been viewing pornography without them knowing, so...
So they were like, dude, teacher, hello, hey.
Torture
dude,
porn.
We see what you're watching. Hey. And
he's
just
watching,
like,
torture porn.
He's just like, oh.
Pleasuring himself.
No.
That's really weird.
That's just a big misunderstanding.
It's like that Suicide Girls porn stuff, like, just bizarre.
It's like a really bad Disney movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. A sex offender who posed as a 12-year-old boy to enroll in Arizona schools has pleaded guilty to 7 criminal charges.
What the hell?
Yeah. Prosecutors say he'll spend more than 70 years in prison. No victims of sexual abuse were found at the schools that 30-year-old Neil Roderick II attended. Authorities say he once grabbed a girl's buttocks at a charter school where he was enrolled. Authorities say Roderick shaved and wore pancake makeup to appear younger, convincing teachers, students, and administrators that he was a boy named Casey.
Evil shenanigans.
Roderick was caught last January posing as a seventh grader after school officials became suspicious about his paperwork. Authorities say they found an extensive collection of child pornography in his home.
Oh,
terrific.
Great.
So that guy must have... I wonder if it was the same school with the torture porn teacher.
That's a really shitty
both
school.
Both in Arizona.
A 30-year-old passed for a 12-year-old.
Yeah. This one I love. Roxbury Township,
son of
New Jersey.
Bitch.
In Roxbury Township, police became suspicious when two New Mexico residents said they drove to New York for peanut butter and pastrami. Police say they stopped a 55-year-old James Garfield, 56-year-old Robin Harrington for making erratic lane changes on Interstate 80. The search of their pickup truck led officers to a backpack containing 3 pounds of marijuana. Each pair are held on a $100,000 bail, charges of marijuana possession with intent to distribute, and drug paraphernalia. That must have been some really good pot to drive all the way from New Mexico to New York to get a peanut butter and pastrami sandwich.
I'm so wasted!
Did he get it at Jimmy John's?
No, that's oral sex. That's not a sandwich.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I know that, dude.
All right. Rockland, California. Rockland police arrested a man for indecent exposure at the Whitney Community Park. Officers responded to a 911 call from a caller on September 5th who claimed that a naked man was chasing him through the park. My God. One adult and two 17-year-olds told officers that a naked male walked up to them and asked if they wanted to play.
No, not right now.
The startled victims got up and ran towards their vehicle. Yeah. It was Whopper.
It's like, no, not right now, man. Get the hell away from me.
Yeah, we want to play thermonuclear warfare. During a search of the area, officers located a clothed but suspicious acting man. The victims identified the man as a person who wasn't wearing clothes earlier when he approached them. His name is Keith Fonte of 34 of Rockland. He lives in the immediate area of the park, was booked into the county jail for indecent exposure. He's out of jail on his own recognizance. Great. A similar incident took place 2 weeks earlier. A man and woman sitting on a bench in the same park told officers a naked man approached them and asked if he could hang out with them. Hey, how you doing? Can I hang out with you?
Dude, after watching Zodiac, whenever anyone's walking up to you in a park, run, okay?
Well, especially if they're naked.
Yeah, or wearing a mask.
Hey, man, I may be naked, but you ought to play some, like, frisbee golf?
End of story.
All right.
That's scary. Kick him in the balls.
Let's play some hide and seek. Come on.
That's not what I'd want to play with a naked man.
I'm going to hide in this hollow log. Come and find me. It's like, no, dude. 1, 2, 3. It's like, dude, what the fuck? Stay away from this guy.
I don't know. I don't know what state this is, but after fielding several complaints from drivers, police arrested a 47-year-old man who is allegedly drunk and directing traffic in the middle of a Hopewell Township road. Louis Irem Figueredo, 47, of Tampa, Florida, well, there you go, was charged with public drunkenness after police were called to the 1000 block of Far Hills Drive just before 1 a.m. Sunday. Trooper Todd Brigham noted in his report that it was readily apparent that Figueredo was intoxicated. So who gets drunk and then goes out in the middle of the street and starts directing traffic? Like, okay, you come on, stop,
you
come on. Come on
about Main Street and First Street. Nobody's there to direct traffic.
Well, was it like the lights were out, so he was just doing a service?
No, he was drunk.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't even have a clue.
That's right, we don't.
All right. Now, here's a trio of dumb Chinese, and that's not, you know, offensive or racist. Three Chinese men have been, you know, in case Elizabeth Hasselbeck is listening.
Oh, it's very offensive, yeah.
Three Chinese men have been spared jail after they smuggled a ball of depleted uranium into the country. Yeah. Good way to go, Rosie.
Yeah, that's offensive, Rosie.
Ignorant of the 604-pound shiny lump was a health threat. The three scrap merchants bought the ball of low-radiation uranium metal in Kyrgyzstan last year, haggling a dealer down to a price of $2,000. They smuggled it into China, evaded custom checks, but apparently ignorant the interesting metal could be dangerous, one of them hid it in his father-in-law's home. They were surprised that at night when the lights went out, the treasure sparkled and glittered. And Wang, one of the men, chipped a, and not the guy in the park, chipped a piece from it and kept it beside his bed.
Oh my God.
Sometimes playing with it. It's so pretty.
That wasn't funny.
That's horrible.
Twice as dense as lead, the depleted uranium. Depleted uranium is the substance left after the more highly radioactive parts are extracted. It's used in armor-piercing ammunition. Oh, no, cop killers.
Uh-oh.
Riggs! Cop killers!
Contact with the skin is not usually harmful, but it can damage the kidneys, lungs, and other organs if it enters the body. Determined to make a dollar from their find, the men decided to have the ball of uranium priced by an expert and took it to a an appraiser thousands of kilometers to Beijing. So they drove across the country to take it to Beijing. To prevent the sample being lost or stolen on the way, Wang chipped the piece off and used tape to stick the unidentified treasure to his body. It never left him day and night. What the hell did they think this was?
When did these people drop dead is what I'm wondering.
Yeah, the three traders' hope for riches evaporated after an expert identified the substance as degraded uranium, and the men were arrested on the spot for suspicion of smuggling. To date, the three have shown no physical abnormalities. Except being really stupid.
Really stupid.
Yeah. Wow, this must be worth something. It glitters when there's no lights on.
This is so stupid.
So there's even stupid people in China. All right. Two men are facing drug and weapon charges after they called Halifax police and claimed that two men had burst into their North End Halifax apartment, fired a gun, and then fled Sunday night. Halifax regional police officers were called to the North Street apartment at 8.04 p.m. and were told by men that another pair of men forced their way in, pointed a gun at them, and shot. However, police were unable to find evidence that a shot had been fired, and a news release suggests a starter pistol or something similar may have been the weapon involved. One of the men in the apartment said one intruder was white in his 20s and had a bandana covering his face. The man in the apartment couldn't describe the second intruder. While searching for evidence, officers found marijuana and a loaded handgun. As a result, two men, 36 and 37, were arrested. Released Sunday night, but were due in court Monday on drug trafficking and weapons offenses. Don't call the cops whenever you have drugs in your apartment.
That's a great thing.
Credo, they're not stupid. They're Mongolians. Nice. Or Mongoloidians, maybe? A couple takes down an alleged burglar in Natomas, wherever the hell that is. They were startled when they discovered an alleged thief inside their home, but quickly turned the tables and had the suspect crying and begging. Nice. The man and woman who did not wish to be identified said they were watching TV when the burglar broke into the house. Alerted by the noise, the man went into the kitchen and confronted the suspect. Wow, this guy isn't subtle.
Excellent. Let's make some LSD.
Yes. My boyfriend was like, why are you in my house? The woman said. The burglar was like, I'm sorry, this is the wrong house. Wow.
God, that bitch pisses me off.
The woman said the suspect had socks over his hands and was rummaging through the couple's drawers.
Socks!
Wow, that's... Ooh, they'll never get prints now.
Well, if I do get caught, I could put on a sock puppet Theta. Then you know, get away while they're not paying attention.
Was he standing there barefoot with his shoelaces tied together over his shoulder?
He's called improvising. I wonder if his sock puppet Syphil and Ollie got charged with burglary. The alleged thief tried to run, but the man jumped into action. He slammed him towards the wall. The guy couldn't move. He was shaking and crying and begging to let him go. Police took the 17-year-old suspect into custody. Because of his age, he has not been released, or his identity has not been released. Socks over his hands.
I love that.
There's only so many movies you can watch before you become a complete idiot.
I've been scrubbing them real hard.
I guess he didn't have gloves, so he just
shit, decided. I need gloves. I know, my socks.
Speaking of another burglar that's genius, a New Jersey man was charged with breaking into a home and stealing a bottle of wine before walking home in his underwear. Andrew Hurth, 38, of Wantage Township, New Jersey, was arrested Saturday on charges of burglary, a felony, and petty larceny, and a misdemeanor. State police at Minisink said the owner of the house in the town of oh my God, this freaking town's name. Minisink reported that he heard a noise at about 3 a.m. Saturday, but assumed it was just made by the pet. Upon waking at 6:30 a.m., the homeowner discovered a downstairs window open with the screen missing and a bottle of wine missing from the kitchen.
I think you're insane.
After searching the property, state troopers found the bottle of wine, which was nearly empty, in a pile of clothes that included pants, a shirt, socks, and sneakers. In the pants pocket was a wallet containing Hurth's personal information. The investigation showed Hurth had been drinking at the Backtrack Inn in the village of Unionville earlier in the evening Saturday. Police said Hurth walked to the Pine Hill Road home after leaving the bar, broke in, left with a bottle of wine, drank most of it in the front yard, then walked home in his underwear. Hey, you know, sometimes when you drink a little bit, you get a little too hot.
Yeah.
Just
that alcohol gets in your system.
You just want to walk home in your underwear.
Leave
your wallet behind in case people find your clothes and think, hey, maybe I should return these. Maybe he'll pay me for my bottle of wine. Now, here's this is probably my favorite story of the week. But then again, the naked man in the park was pretty good. A woman who said she was searching for her missing chihuahua fired a gun into a crowd of people early this morning, wounding two people outside a northeast Tulsa home. Victims whose identities were not released did not suffer life-threatening wounds. One bullet struck a victim in the leg. The other one only grazed a second victim. About midnight, the woman approached a group of people standing outside the home. She told them she was missing her chihuahua and asked if they had seen the dog. When they told her she hadn't, she'd walked away. A short time later, the woman returned to the house and again inquired about the chihuahua, became frustrated when the group told her again they'd not seen the dog. They didn't have the dog. They didn't know what she was talking about, police officer said. The woman then walked away from the group before turning and opening fire with a pistol.
What?
Firing multiple shots and striking the two victims. She ran away from the scene and is still at large this morning.
Oh, my God.
Chihuahua, my dog.
Good no. Lord.
Shoot you, you son of a bitch. What were they supposed to say? Yes, we saw your dog. Please don't shoot us.
Damn, dude. Look at that chunk, dude.
What? All right. And last story. Man accused of flashing is busted at a nude beach. St. Louis Obispo Palmdale man has been arrested on suspicion of flashing his way across San Luis Obispo and Pismo Beach after authorities hunted him down, of all places, at a nude beach.
No, that's for being a tease. Because if you're in a nude beach, but you're covered up, and then you go, woo, and then cover it back up, that's teasing. That's not right.
San Luis Obispo sheriff's officials saying Oh, Jesus. What's with these names of these towns? Atascadero police dog found 39-year-old Patrick Dodenhoff on Thursday hiding in the brush at Pirate's Cove. The secluded private beach. I almost said secluded pirate beach.
Arr,
welcome to the pirate beach.
Just be secluded.
Only pirates be here. Naked pirates.
This secluded bleach.
Beautiful.
Secluded bleach. All right. So it's a private beach several miles south of St. Louis Obispo. It is known for nude sunbathing. So they found this guy in the bushes. I wonder what he was doing in the bushes.
Can only guess.
I wonder. And that's news for this week.
Pleasuring himself.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the news this week.
What I want to know is how the police dog tracked him down to a bush. What did he have to sniff him out on?
We won't go there. Hey, and let's do some.
It was nude. Why was he hiding in the bushes at a nude beach?
I know.
This guy's a wacko.
There's a lot of mystery here.
Maybe he thought it was a pirate beach.
Hey, I don't have a pirate costume. Mr. Beaver, all naked.
I'm naked. All right. Arr. Let's do some DVDs. What do you say, Steven? Ready?
Let's do it.
You ready, Bill?
Yeah, let's do them.
Ow! Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! DVDs!
HD, Blu-ray, standard definition! DVDs!
Oh, hell yeah! The DVDs, everybody! All right. DVDs.
Let's make some LSD.
Yes.
No, DVDs, not what? LSD.
we're doing the DVDs.
All right.
It's
DVDs.
Absurd. It's totally
September
absurd.
16th. 2008, this Tuesday.
Yeah.
Starting off with an Al Pacino movie that I didn't even think hit the theaters or didn't last very long. 88 minutes.
88 minutes.
Righteous Kill.
No.
Yeah, 88 minutes.
You know what I heard is that 88 minutes isn't even 88 minutes, so it makes no sense.
It's 107 minutes.
It's not even the running time.
Ridge Racer!
Well, maybe that, you know, some of the movie takes place before the 88 minutes start.
Oh, so it's
flashback.
Not, so it's nothing like Nick of Time with Johnny Depp.
No, but I guess it's another John Avnet movie. Didn't he just direct something recently?
Yeah, he does this.
Righteous Kill.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He does Righteous Kill.
So Pacino's like, I'm only working with Avnet.
Hoo-ah, Avnet.
Hoo-ha! I'll take a flamethrower to this place! John Avnet's my man!
Some of my favorite
Such
movies
a dated
ever
impression. He's got nothing new to work with! Come on!
That's like way older than my nipple to comment.
No, it's not, is it?
Yes.
Damn it!
See, and I forgot all about the nipple comment.
Funny,
that's good stuff. All right, my favorite series of movies is definitely the Air Bud series of movies.
Hell yeah, that dog is talented.
If you thought he was talented before, wait till this double feature pack. Air Bud 4, Seventh Inning Fetch, where I guess he plays baseball.
Holy crap, they're not even trying anymore, are they?
No, and Air Bud 5, Spikes Back, where I guess he's playing volleyball.
What?
So, I gotta see these.
He's gonna play every sport.
When is he gonna play frisbee, a sport dogs really play?
I know. Maybe that was one of the earlier Air Buds.
No, he's gonna play hockey next.
I can't wait to see like the fake CGI dog playing volleyball. That's gonna be great. This poor dog. I think they should like arrest its owner for torture.
No kidding, man.
All right, next DVD, Beetlejuice, the 20th Anniversary Deluxe Edition on DVD and Blu-ray.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Oh, gotta love the Beetlejuice.
This was a movie that had to grow on me. I didn't really like it when I first saw it, but it's pretty classic.
It's one of those movies, yeah, it endures.
I liked it, yeah. I liked it first off.
It's good stuff. Is it on Blu-ray, Bill?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, okay. It's cool. I love Michael Keaton. I wish he would make another.
The Blu-rays would just come down in price from that $30 range.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's why you don't buy them retail.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I wish if they would come down.
I do too.
I buy all my Blu-rays off of Amazon or deep discount DVD. I can't. I've never bought one retail. All right, next DVD is Blood Simple, Director's Cut, the Ethan Coen, Joel Coen film. One of their first movies, I think it's from 83.
You are correct, sir. I believe it is their first movie, and it's a great movie. It still holds up. I mean,
yeah, it is really good.
The film.
I've never seen the Director's Cut, but...
Neither have I. It's got a great final shot in the movie. It's great. I love the Coen brothers, man. They rock.
Anything's good when it has Dan Hedaya in it.
Hey, Coen Brothers, you rock! I always hear that on, like, the local FM station. They'll give a shout-out to whatever, wherever you're at, like, hey, Dallas, you rock! It's like, oh, thank you, radio station! I give a shit. It's like, it makes me really feel cool, guys. You know?
Capitalizing on the JCPenney commercial, Breakfast Club Flashback Edition.
Yes!
Is that not the worst commercial ever made?
Yes.
It's pretty...
With the horrible cover of the, is that Simple Minds song? Yes.
Don't you forget about me. It's like, you know, Good Charlotte singing it or some shit.
All right, next. Chuck, the complete first season on DVD and Blu-ray.
This is upsetting to me.
Oh, sorry. Bill, we upset Elizabeth.
No, it's not very hard to really upset her.
Yeah, their website is back up. You need Flash to get all the downloads and whatnot. But...
I think she's talking about the Handlebar.
Oh, website. Just go to Handlebar's website.
But you got to have Flash to get it.
Oh, just to put in a bid on that Harley.
You know, there have been more and more TV shows now on Blu-ray, right? Now, since a regular movie is $30, how much is a box set for a TV show?
$30.
Really? So it's the same price? Not bad. I'd love to watch Lost in 1080p, man. That show's gorgeous.
I really, you know, I enjoy Chuck. It's not a great show, but I just find the blonde chick in it just so incredibly attractive. Yvonne Strahovski.
Yeah, I enjoy Chuck. I watch it every week. I mean, it's nothing deep about the show. It's just you're in there, you're out of there, you're entertained, move on to the next show.
Just Joshua Jackson and Fringe, I could do without Chuck's best friend in the show. He annoys the living hell out of me.
You don't like Joshua Jackson?
No, the guy in Chuck, his best friend. He always makes the witty comments, always does stupid stuff.
You confuse me.
Sorry, I'm like on different things.
No, I know you're talking about his buddy, yeah.
Yeah, it just gets a little irritating. This one I had to mention just because it's got such a great cast. The Class of 1999.
Awesome!
The time is the future, and youth gang violence is so high that the areas around some schools have become free fire zones.
F*** your ass, man.
Wow.
Starring Malcolm McDowell as the principal.
That's right.
And Dr.
Stop here, let's party! The police,
and Stacy Keach as Dr. Robert Forrest.
Do you guys want to hear something? I'm serious when I say this. Saw it in the theater.
No!
I did with my dad. We went to see this piece of crap.
I didn't even know it was in the theaters. I thought it was like one of those Cinemax movies.
It showed locally. I don't know. It probably only showed in Fort Worth.
Like that stupid Frankenhooker thing.
Yeah. I saw it. Wow. And man, is it entertaining. Woohoo!
So like that Point Blank with
If I remember right, Stacy Keach is a cyborg, and he might at one point have a cyborg hand. If I'm remembering,
he's a robotic specialist.
Yes, and hey, if you have troubled students, don't try to help them. Kill them.
Get rid of them. There you go.
Yes.
All right. Next DVD is Death Race, the Roger Corman movie. I guess they're releasing it to capitalize on the remake.
Did Joan Allen invent that one too?
No, see, that was the Death Race that just came out was a prequel.
Awesome, but it looks a lot better visually than the
Roger Corman version
one afterwards.
Yeah, huh? With Stallone.
Yeah, that's such a goofy movie.
It really is. I watched it on Turner Classic Movies. Every once in a while, does this thing called Turner Classic Movies Underground, and they'll show movies like that, completely uncut.
I can't remember.
I watched it the other night.
I can't remember liking it or anything, but I know some people
love it. No, it's terrible, but there's some beautiful women in it.
It was fun to watch. I remember just having fun with it.
Yeah, it's something you sit around with your buddy and
look,
stupid shit.
Like the one that cracked me up, I know I was laughing when he ran over the guy, the fisherman, down in the creek bed, stopped on him, and then just gunned it, and all you just see is blood, you know.
Good time.
All right, so
sweeter
next
than
DVD.
The sweetest dessert.
Next DVD is a movie I've never heard of. It's a Magnolia Home Entertainment release. So maybe you've seen some trailers for it on HDNet. It's a Peter Tolan film called Finding Amanda.
Yeah, Matthew Broderick. Sorry,
yeah,
I didn't mean to
Brittany Snow, Steve Coogan, Matthew Broderick, yeah.
Yeah, they were showing on HDNet movies for a while, and I recorded it. I got about 30 minutes into it. But I just lost interest. Hey, you know, it's like the guy says on Kitchen Nightmares. Somebody might like it, somebody
it's
might
not.
It's
not my taste.
Yeah, I don't like the taste. You know what I'm saying? And Peter Tolan, I enjoy his writing on shows like Rescue Me, and I was waiting for it to bring the funny, and I didn't laugh that much. So
didn't really bring the funny.
I just lost interest, you know? I'm sorry.
Now more than ever, really, it's just now. If not now, when? And if not you, who? If not then, why? If not why, where? Not where, when? Take all those words and create a question and throw them out of your dictionary of daily life. Because you, my friend, already know the answer in your heart of hearts.
Exactly.
Oh, that is so all day long.
That is so, so great. Next DVD.
Brilliant.
Yes, it is.
If not you, who? next DVD is Inside the Actor's Studio, Robin Williams.
Oh, my God.
What? Who would not want to own this?
Mr. Williams, I'd say two words to you. What's the first thing that pops into your brain when I say Mork and Mindy?
What? What, Steven? The hell are you talking about?
Steven, you went blue.
What did he say?
He said the C word.
Oh, really?
Rhymes,
wow.
Rhymes with a baseball term. What?
The female of the species yourself.
Wow, good job, Steven. A man after my own heart.
It's a conspiracy.
Yeah, I remember watching this Inside the Actor's Studio and being so annoyed by it because it was like Robin Williams doing stand-up with James Lipton. It's just, you're an asshole.
Way to go, Steve. That's good stuff.
What I want to say to Robin Williams is sit down.
Yeah.
You're not doing stand-up. You're being interviewed. Sit the hell down. Don't do your rap gag where he's like, does rap from the 80s or something.
Oh,
he still thinks
isn't that
funny.
The worst?
Oh, God, it's so bad.
It's like he's trying to make a joke of something that he doesn't even understand.
And he'll do the... it's like, dude, that was funny back when Joe Piscopo did it on a Budweiser commercial or whatever it was back in the early
80s. It makes the Fat Boys. They're still making music.
It's like, good God.
Man, you're weak. Weak.
Protect yourself. My nuts. My nuts.
You know what's bad when KFID calls you weak? And it's right.
Yes. Now, if you thought the Robin Williams DVD was bad, how about this one? Juiced, the hidden camera show with O.J. Simpson.
What?
Yes.
What decade was this made in?
This was made in 2006.
Oh, my God.
I would really, really like to shoot you right now.
Whoa.
Juiced. I guess it was his version of punked.
I guess so.
Or like he would play with people and then go, you've been juiced.
He comes up behind you with a rubber knife. Oh, I just kidding. You thought I was going to murder you, didn't you? Nah, scared the shit out of you. You've been juiced. You've been juiced. Presses a button, squirts fake blood on you. You've been juiced.
No, he throws orange juice.
Not in the way.
The hot shit, the citric gas is in my eyes. You've been juiced. You cold been juiced. Now you're blind. Motherfucker!
So what the hell? It's an extra pole!
Now you couldn't see if I did kill you!
By the way, don't forget to buy juice! My new orange juice drink!
Guess what?
Artificial flavors!
Don't listen to eyes and there's no witnesses!
That's what he He goes back and juices the whole jury that acquitted him.
Oh!
You remember me? You've been juiced!
I think we've just made up a more interesting show.
Yes.
I gotta check that out.
OJ's juiced. God. I mean, you can pick it up for $14.99.
All right! We can?
Wrong.
Yeah. Next DVD is The Love Guru with Mike Myers.
I'm kind of out of curiosity. I want to see how bad this is.
DVD and Blu-ray.
Nice.
Good. You know, this was just in the theater, too, and they couldn't rush it out fast enough.
What? You're right. This was just out.
I'm still waiting for Speed Racer on DVD.
Well, it comes out this week.
Yeah.
Hey!
So
thanks for preempting that, Steven.
Well, I didn't know when
it was coming out. But seriously, Love Guru was out, what, 2 months ago?
Not even.
And it didn't make a dime. I mean, it really just like... It just
They're in the chat room. They're talking about how great OJ was in The Naked Gun. Yeah, he's terrific until he cut his wife's head off with a knife.
Muttley, that is not funny.
But you know what was so funny? I remember after the third, I don't even know which Naked Gun movie it was. The entire cast of The Naked Gun came on Donahue, and OJ Simpson had just been charged with murder, and. Donahue was asking, like, Leslie Nielsen, like, so, what do you think of these charges? Leslie Nielsen's like, well, I don't think there, you know, there's no substance to these. OJ is just such a gentle man. He would never do anything like that.
Good Lord.
Right next DVD, you know... I swear to God, we're flashing back to the 80s, and I want to die because of it. Patrick Dempsey in Maid of Honor. Who honestly thought it would be a good idea to start putting this guy back in movies and TV?
Hell yeah.
He was terrible. He was terrible in Run. He was terrible in Can't Buy Me Love. He was terrible in... God, what
Lover
else
boy.
Did he do?
Come on, in this bill, he's the male maid of honor. He's a dude.
Isn't that clever?
But he's a maid of honor.
And he loves the woman that's getting married. Oh, it's so tragic.
I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder what happens. He Seriously? Loves her, and he's going to be
this,
her maid.
Even thinking about this movie gives
me... Oh, my God! It turns into a horror movie.
He kills her and all the other women.
But
thinking, even thinking about this movie or wanting to see it actually gives me diarrhea.
You know what? Like, Michelle Monaghan is almost enough to get me to watch it, but no.
No, she isn't.
I can't.
Just watch Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Seriously.
Yeah, I'll just watch that again. Seriously, he's a guy and he's her maid of honor.
He's a douchebag.
All right. Shit.
Yeah. Next DVD is Pushing Daisies, the complete first season, a show I really, really liked.
Yeah, it is a cool show.
It's a DVD and Blu-ray.
You know, unfortunately, that was one of those things I had, like, every episode on the DVR, and finally I just had to delete them because I needed space, and I never watched all of them. Unfortunate. Sorry.
That is. You should rent the Blu-rays. Give them a watch.
I want all these shows on Blu-ray just to see how cool they look, you know?
It'd be asinine to think otherwise.
Yeah.
Next DVD is Risky Business, 25th Anniversary Edition on Blu-ray and DVD.
I would love to see that on Blu-ray.
Speaking of John Avnet, I guess he was a producer on this one. So there's a commentary with the director, Paul Brickman, producer John Avnet, and Tom Cruise.
Come on, who doesn't love the soundtrack to this by Tangerine Dream? Huh?
This is just a, you know what, it's just a great movie, and it's before Tom Cruise even got into Scientology, so I can actually enjoy it.
Yeah, and Joey Pants is Guido the Killer Pimp, huh?
Yes, Guido the Killer Pimp.
Booger has the best, in it. He has the best line in the movie, we're being chased by Guido.
Chased by Guido the Killer Pimp.
Awesome. Check it out.
Bronson Pinchot, Balky.
Just sits in the corner wearing a sweater vest and masturbating.
Who is?
No. This next DVD actually shocked me. I've been waiting to see it. I thought it hadn't even come out in theaters yet, but here it is. Snow Angels. It's a film by David Gordon Green. I actually read the book, and I liked it. Well, it shocked me because I was waiting for it to come out in the theaters. I'd heard about it. I was really looking forward to seeing it. I've read the book. I love David Gordon Green's movies.
Is this
like the
Kate Beckinsale movie, Bill?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
With Sam Rockwell. And it's also got that Michael Angarano, the kid that's in Forbidden Kingdom and Sky High.
And Mark Ruffalo, right? No,
I think it's Sam Rockwell.
No, who's that other guy? I'm sorry. Mark Ruffalo is not in it. It's another guy who kind of reminds me of him.
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure.
He's got a mustache.
Hey, there you go.
And Mark Ruffalo had a mustache in another movie I saw, so it's
that's
the same guy. Yeah. My brain can't fit all the actors' names in it.
David Gordon Green directed, Undertow, which is a terrific movie.
Yeah.
And George Washington, which is, I think it was his first movie. It's considered a classic now. But I really liked him as a director, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. I was just really surprised that they pushed it to DVD instead of releasing it in the theater. Maybe they felt it was too depressing.
I think it was one of those in select cities, and it did.
It
did the festival circuit too. So,
right.
I've heard Roper talking about it.
I know Richard Roper liked it.
Yeah,
he didn't like Medellin, but he did like Snow Angels.
He hated Medellin.
And in case, Stevens, since he got ahead of it, Speed Racer, DVD, and Blu-ray.
It's like a really bad Disney movie.
What?
Hey, I love Speed Racer, all
right? Speed Racer is amazing.
And I can't wait to own it on Blu-ray. One thing I've heard about the Blu-ray, Bill, it doesn't have the... It's not in true HD. It's not in DTS HD. What is it?
Yeah, oh, it only has Dolby Digital 5.1.
Yeah, what kind of shit is that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, seriously.
Maybe they didn't have the space for the lossless sound. Maybe they wanted the video to take the...
The speculation on AVS is that Warner Brothers sank enough money into this bomb. They didn't want to do any more.
Oh, well, screw them.
But if the bucket list will have, you know...
Yeah.
I think... That's a ridiculous thing. I don't know what the hell is going on, honestly.
No, I absolutely love this movie. It's got, it's cool. It's got some features on it called Spritel in the Big Leagues. You tour the movie set with the kid that played Spritel, Pauly Litt. Meet the drivers of the World Racing League. Explore the film's cars and racetracks. There's a feature called Carfu Cinema. About the car fight scenes.
I love it all.
Yeah, I cannot wait to pick this up.
How cool is this?
Today.
My 4-year-old daughter sees a commercial. She goes, "Dad, look, Speed Racer." She wants me to buy it. I got to. I got to pay $30 for it. Oh crap!
I know $28.43. Actually, it lists at $35.99.
Holy
so.
Crap!
You're going to want to get it off of Amazon for $25.
It's totally absurd.
You know, this is the funny thing, though. My daughter, she will want to watch it in the bedroom, so I need to have it on standard def, too.
Oh, yeah,
and
you're right.
I don't care if she gets fingerprints and stuff on it. I got to have standard def also. It sucks. What am I going to do? I need a way to copy it and put it.
What you do is you just buy the standard def and you wait for your birthday or something for the Blu-ray as a gift.
I can't wait. I want it now. Oh, sorry.
Excellent. Let's make some SD.
That's Steven's right. You know, get her the standard def and then wait for the, or just have, I don't know. Does it really matter?
It does matter.
It matters.
Bill, how could you ask that? Does it matter if it's standard def or HD? Are you kidding?
No, I'm saying, you know, you can get it standard def and then wait for your birthday to get it on.
Oh, yeah. I could do that. All right, I'll do it.
That is appalling.
Maybe you can, like, watch the DVD and go, man, I can't wait to see this in HD. And then once you get the HD, be like, wow, I'm so glad that I got this in HD.
I'll wait for it on HBO, and it'll be that zoomed HD or whatever.
Oh, boo.
I just had
to mention this next DVD because of the Middleman finale. Star Trek Alternate Realities Collection.
Cool.
So it's in the cover is... a half of a face of the normal Spock, and then the other half with the goatee Spock.
Evil Spock.
Yeah, so it's got 20 episodes that all have to do with the characters behaving contrary to type.
Evil shenanigans.
So, I mean, that's pretty good. A 5-disc collection, 20 episodes of the alternate reality shows, and it's only $30. So if you're all right, a Star Trek fan, probably want to pick it up if you don't already have the episodes.
I love Star Trek.
Star Tracks. And again, Weird Science Flashback Edition. I guess they're doing the whole thing since the Breakfast Club one was a flashback edition.
The new Sears Weird Science commercial.
just wait for that. They'll be walking around with bras on their heads.
Good
in the
Charlotte
store.
Does a cover of Weird Science.
Yeah, I'm afraid something inside me died.
That would truly be a travesty.
Yeah, it would.
All right, and last DVD is a documentary film called Young at Heart about a group of old people that sing modern music.
Oh, yeah, I've seen all about this.
Yeah, they, like, sing Coldplay and stuff like that, so...
Yeah, they sing... you see an old guy, he's like, oh, I feel good. No, 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 no.
Oh, yes.
I knew that I would. You know, they can get Even Jerry on there from Big Brother.
Oh, God. I couldn't handle any more of him.
I'm a nice guy.
But this looks very interesting. It's basically old battle axes, old bags, and old guys. And they're singing songs, and it makes them feel young again, and it makes your heart glow.
It warms the cockles of your heart.
That's right.
And that's DVDs for this week.
Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you for doing the DVDs this week. Awesome. I'm picking up Speed Racer and what was the other one? That juiced. Yeah, that's it. All right.
Juice. You been juiced.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal and see.
Evil shenanigans.
All right, everyone. That was episode 137 of Nowhere a Mulberry, an extra long show.
Yes.
Hopefully,
you know, I'm sorry to interrupt you again, but honestly, with the whole OJ thing, why would he not try to, like, reinvent his image and maybe go, like, the whole Jack LaLanne thing and actually make a juicer? You know, like George Foreman's grill. Why not OJ Simpson juicer? The juice juicer.
He probably just did something, like, to make a quick buck, you know?
He's an idiot.
All right, so if you'd like to go to nowhereamulberry.com, you'll find a link to our forum where Bill could argue with you over the Wii. Or you could send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com or click on the link Mulberry Old School. You'll find all of our old episodes of the show, and it's awesome.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the Wii. I have a problem with the people that hijack threads and to talk about how great their Wii is.
I wonder if he likes Wii Man. That dude totally missed out on an endorsement. But he could totally do an endorsement for the Wii, couldn't he? The commercial, you see him on the Wii Fit, that little guy moving around doing cartwheels.
Little guy.
In gymnastics.
Little guy. Look at that little guy.
That little guy's playing video games. He's so cute.
Look at him.
He's a Wii.
Look at him doing the Wii Sports. Ah.
Look at that little guy go.
He's really going fast. He's working up that, you know.
Getting that heart rate up.
Little fella.
That's quite possibly the dumbest add-on ever. The Wii Fit. If anybody actually thinks that's like a tool for better health.
Like, don't you have to get your heart rate up for it to do anything?
Well, no, yoga isn't built, made for getting your heart rate up.
It's just to have fun?
Yoga is just a...
I didn't say yoga. Like,
no, that's what the Wii Fit is yoga.
Oh, it is? I thought
it's not all yoga. Well, there's a yoga program in it.
Oh, okay.
Because when you do that, you stand on that pad and you have to balance and you keep your weight... Blah, 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 blah.
Well, maybe we should have Jay Webb.
Who cares, you know what I'm saying?
Awesome.
We'll have Jay Webb on to talk about how great the Wii Fit is and how his entire family enjoys it.
It's totally absurd.
Bill, you need to make up with Jay Webb.
I'm making up with that asshole.
Oh, that's crazy.
Turnabout.
I have never went into one of his threads about a Wii game and went, you know what? You know, Mario Galaxy is really cool, but you know what's even cooler? Grand Theft Auto. And it's just like, you're an asshole!
I'm sorry.
All right, well, we'll leave it at that. This is a long-ass show, man. How long have we been... Bill!
He's joking.
Karma!
God, that bitch
pisses me off. Getting you.
He's using his powers to choke you.
You're an asshole!
Which makes me listy.
Yes.
I was laughing and I shot water out my nose.
Well, I want to say this. Andy, I hope you're okay. I hope your house is okay, your shingles are okay, and your family's okay. Not necessarily in that order. I think your family should come before the shingles.
Yeah.
And before the
shingles
fence.
Aren't as important.
Yeah, I just know roof work is expensive and it's a pain in the ass, but still. As long as everyone's okay and you're able to watch anime and play the 360, everything's all right. Right? So let's all wish Andy well. And let's have a good week, people, huh? Let's bring it together. Let's get juiced, if you know what I mean. I don't know what I mean. Do you know what I mean?
Well, if you take the who and the what, the where and the why,
unbelievable.
All right, well, that's the end of the show. I'm sure my wife wants to come home. See you guys next week. Woohoo! Right, Steven?
Yes, see you next week.
It's like a really bad Disney movie.
It is.
Bye, Bill.
See ya.
Bye, Bill.
I'm going to go choke on more water.
Don't let that karma get you tonight.
Karma.
It's gonna come in and make me play the Wii.
It's a Wii Karma God.
Hi, it's a Wii!
Excellent. Let's make some LSD.
Casting.
Our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.